Wendy, what's... All right, look outside the window, and up in the sky, there's like a big, giant orange ball. What is that?
I think.
What is that, though?
But I'm not sure. I think it's the sun.
I've not seen it in a long, long, long time.
I cannot believe how much it rained, like, from Friday all the way till this morning.
Yeah. And even when it wasn't raining, it was just gray and cloudy and awful. So, welcome back, sun. Nice to see you.
Can I tell you what the rain did do for all of us?
Huh.
Have you seen how green your yard is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. It's about time. This is what
it's
we were
waiting.
It's too
cold to mow it,
it's,
but...
Right, it is too cold. Yeah, there's always a downside, I guess. But this week is supposed to be much more pleasant. And then over the weekend, they're saying in the 70s. So, we've suffered enough.
June is coming.
It's finally going to be here. It's finally going to be here. I have a quick question for you. This is one of those technical questions where things happen and I say to myself, even though I'm an adult, kind of, I should know how to handle this and I do not. May I run it past you?
Sweetly.
Yesterday, I had a tennis match out in Crystal Lake, and it's a long, long drive from Evanston to Crystal Lake. It's an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
It's a long drive.
Even longer walk.
Oh, to walk it. I wouldn't be back yet. Wouldn't even be anywhere near back yet. On the drive at some point, I see a woman driving a car, and she takes a whole bag of Kentucky Fried Chicken that she's obviously been finished with, and just tosses it out of her window.
Get out of here.
That is so funny you say that.
Did you see something similar?
I was driving in, I don't know.
You got really quiet all of a sudden.
I did? I'm sorry. I was driving in the suburbs yesterday, and I had that very thought about, you know, how we've changed as a... Because people used to do that all the time.
I think...
And I was thinking about people throwing stuff out their window.
I remember when I was a kid, I could give you a half a dozen examples that have stuck with me forever where I wanted to say to the person, your mom's not going to come and pick that up. It's just going to be there now. And I see this with cigarette people all the time. People who smoke, they just think it's fine to just flick the butt out the car window when they're done smoking. And that bothers me, but it's small.
There are no ashtrays in cars anymore, though, just so you know.
Oh, is that true?
They aren't.
That said, it still doesn't give anybody the right to
flick anything out the window.
They
make beanbag ashtrays. I saw them at a thrift shop over the weekend. Buy a beanbag ashtray.
You could put a beanbag ashtray in your car. But to take a whole giant bag of Kentucky Fried Chicken refuse, like whatever she was done with, she just rolls down her window and tosses it out. And I'm behind her and I'm like, all right, what do I do with this?
Nothing.
I don't know.
There's nothing you can do. What, are you going to pull up alongside of her and point, like, to pull over? Who are you, the litter police?
That's what I mean. She wouldn't care.
And she'd hurt you.
She might have hurt me.
Physically or with her words. It's not worth it.
Well, but there has to be some way as a citizen to say to another citizen, don't do that anymore. You have to know if she did this yesterday, it's probably not the first time she's done it. It's probably not the last time she's done it. And I don't know how it would have ended if I had had a chance. And I tried for a couple of seconds. I'm like, I want to pull up next to that woman and signify that what she did was wrong.
How do you do that?
I don't
like,
know.
Like pretend you're eating chicken leg and then whipping it out the window?
It would have become a whole game of charades. Is it a book? Wait, it's a movie. All right, it's a movie. Chicken. What are you trying to tell me?
That is so funny. Too bad you don't have a Colonel Sanders outfit in your car.
No,
you
do.
Could just, oh.
I do have a Colonel Sanders outfit
in my car.
Well,
see, you should have put that on.
It was so infuriating. And then the fact that there was nothing, that my hands were tied, that even though I like to think I'm somebody who knows how to express themselves.
Not the proper situation.
I guess not.
Why can't you call the police? Why can't you call 311 and say, I know this sounds really stupid, but here's the license plate number of someone who whipped a huge bag of Kentucky Fried Chicken out the window and almost caused me to veer off the road. You could have said it that way.
I could have said that, I guess. Now, be honest with me. If you're the police, and I don't know exactly what suburb this was. I want to say Algonquin at that point, but I'm not positive. But if you're the police in that area and you get a call from me saying there's a woman throwing chicken bags out the window, do you laugh? Do you just hang up? Put me on hold?
Here's exactly what they would do. Thank you, sir. We'll make a note of that.
Right.
And then they hang up and totally laugh.
That's it. Hey, a guy just called because a woman's throwing chicken out of her car.
Was it eaten or should
right.
we go find it and eat
right.
it?
Well, all right. I'll say this, and I know it sounds stupid because even I, as I'm thinking, go, this is really stupid. I thought I should go back and pick the chicken up and then bring it to the local police and say, hey, just so you believe me.
Run it for Prince?
Right. I know. As I'm thinking it, I'm going, I bet there's something dumber I could come up with as I'm driving.
I'll tell you, though, remember the Brown's Chicken murders? They got Prince off of the chicken meal.
I know.
So they could have done it.
I know. Except I think that one being murder was probably a bigger priority than just a woman tossing a bag out her window.
Probably.
But, boy, I was so infuriated. I mean, every time I see somebody with that cigarette flick, I go, what are you doing? We're trying to make the planet a better place, not a worse. And I know it's just a small cigarette butt, but don't do that. But a big bag of chicken like that?
I find... it's usually on Monday mornings as I'm pulling out of our driveway to go to work.
Yeah.
There are like White Castle bags or empty cigarette, not cartons, a pack.
Sure.
Just sitting on our lawn.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to drop a bag off, make sure it's full.
Please.
But I don't even understand that. Who whips it out? There are, in fact, there are drive-thrus. When you go to get food, there's, if you've noticed, the garbage can with the big long piece that sticks out.
Sure.
So you can just throw it out there if
right.
it's messing up your car.
Well, I always assume incorrectly that it must be just lazy teenagers just driving around going, enough of this, toss it out the window. But that lady yesterday was easily 40 years old. Easily.
She should know better.
She should know better.
See... The good news is she has probably a clean car. I don't. I have empty water bottles all over the place because I just kind of throw them in the back seat. And then when I get home, I throw them all out.
Yeah.
But for a while, it's dirty.
Yeah.
So I would have just put the bag of chicken in the back seat till I got home. It really could cause an accident.
It could cause an accident, but let's say it doesn't cause an accident. Just the mere fact that somebody is stupid enough to go, I've got garbage in my car. Here's my two options. I could wait till I get home like you do, or I can just fling it out the window and let the rest of the world worry about it. That's what bothered me, that she's so insensitive to the rest of the planet. She just goes, you know what? Garbage in my car, not a good thing. But on the side of the road, that's much better.
I don't understand why people do that. I really was with Bertrand. I'm thinking, you know, every once in a while you see a prison detail where they're out picking up the garbage. And I was thinking the other day, probably months ago, there's not that much garbage around anymore.
I think most people have warmed up to the fact that it's better for everybody to just be a good person, throw it out when you get a chance. But this lady yesterday just couldn't have cared. You just see the whole thing in front of me go, what's the thought process that led to that? How did she think that was okay?
It's terrible.
Awful. All right. If you want to discuss this or any other matters, we are here for you. We're 312-981-7200. How would you have handled this? Did I do the right thing by doing nothing? I was mad at myself then.
There is nothing you could do. There's nothing you could do. If you pulled her over, she's a person who throws a big bag of garbage out the window. How is she going to have a nice conversation with you?
She would not have. But that's what I'm thinking is like, do I go nice on this and go, look, I understand that. You didn't want to have garbage in your car, but there's a better way to handle it. And then what would have happened?
That's not nice.
You don't think that would have been polite?
You're thinking you're nice, but if I'm that lady and you say that, I'd be like, who are you, the litter patrol?
Well, I'm not claiming to be the litter patrol, but I'm just somebody else that occupies the same world as that woman. And it was so putting off to me and everybody else that she just didn't care, you know? What would you have done in this situation? 312-981-7200. We'll get your thoughts next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, you are mad at a woman with good reason, because I can't believe it was an adult who did what?
Well, she's driving along. This is somewhere between Algonquin and Crystal Lake, and she just rolls down her window and tosses out a huge bag of garbage from Kentucky Fried Chicken, just tosses it on the side of the road and goes about her merry way. I didn't know quite how to handle it. Originally, I thought I should go back and get the bag and bring it to police. I thought maybe there'd be a receipt in the bag with a time stamp on it. I could go to the local Kentucky Fried Chicken and we could track this woman down and put her in the big house. I didn't know what to do.
Well, there is a littering fine. I know if you called it in, I don't think they would have done anything, but why not?
You should have just picked it up. Then there would have been no harm.
Yeah, I guess so, Steve.
Why should he be picking up other people's litter?
Because it bothers him.
I guess that's a good answer. Doug, what should Bill have done?
I agree. He should have picked it up, but he should have caught up to her and thrown it back in her window and yelled at her and told her to stay by the garbage can.
That is, first of all, that's the first.
I am known to do stuff like that, so.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. Get the garbage, yeah. Throw it in her window and say, this belongs to you. but the time element couldn't have played out right. If I would have stocked the car, gone back, U-turned, and got,
she would have been long gone.
She's
on the lam, as they say.
She's on the lam.
We're on the chicken at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably the most intolerant person in the world when it comes to stuff like that, because I'm one of the most environmentally conscious people when it comes to things, and I just it irks me more than you ever want to know.
Sure, it's upsetting. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Karen has a great idea. Hey, Karen.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes.
You have a good idea.
Yes, I do. Bill, you should have followed her until you got to a stop and took a picture of her license plate and take a picture of the garbage and put it on social media and shame that woman, because, as your other caller, I am so environmentally conscious and it infuriates me when I see people do that. And I think the way social media is now, I think you should be, the only way to do it is to shame her.
That's a good idea.
That's a great
that
idea.
Really is.
It was just, my blood is boiling.
It's maddening, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And what an example to set for, what if she had a kid in the car? What kind of an example are you setting?
Sure.
Well, at least she didn't throw the kid out the window.
Not this time.
It's the epitome of laziness.
It really is.
It totally is. And disrespect. Yeah. This, you know, our world is not your garbage can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Wendy, you're right. Her car is probably spotless because she throws everything out.
So Karen, that is a great idea. Here is my question, though. If you put something on social media, I know there really aren't that many laws on the internet right now, but I would almost feel guilty putting the license plate. Like, I would blur that out.
How come?
I wouldn't.
Because...
No. She's out in public.
Yeah, why?
I guess.
You shouldn't feel guilty.
And you do that. No, I would not feel guilty at all.
But people can look up the plate and find out who it is, and then
that's part of it.
But then she could sue you, couldn't she?
That's why you're doing it.
No.
That's why you're doing it.
She can't sue. Why could she sue? What were her grounds for suing?
I don't know.
Road. Yeah, she's on a public road in public. There's no way she could sue, and that the only thing you can do is shame her.
And let this be a lesson to everyone.
She won't do it again.
That people do have cell phones to take pictures of everything.
Right.
Absolutely.
If I knew how to use the camera on my cell phone, I would have done
that. God. You would have gotten in an accident trying to pull the camera out.
I know.
Well, that's why I'm telling you, follow her till you're stopped, where you're stopped. Then you can get her picture. But when I'm in a restaurant or anywhere and I see people drop stuff and they knowingly do it, I'll say to them, excuse me, you dropped something.
What kind of reaction do you get to that?
They use yes, and I pick, you know, and then they pick it up.
They do? But, all right, good.
They probably act like they didn't know it fell from their hand, even though they threw it.
Of course. Of course.
Well, great ideas, Karen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.
One.
You too. Bye.
Karen had some fabulous ideas. But you're right. We got to teach you how to use your camera.
I would have been dead.
I got to learn
Jim Toronto would have been sitting in this chair telling you a whole different story than the one I just told you.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Wendy and Bill. How are you?
Excellent. What's up?
I had a very similar situation, and this was before I had a cell phone. I love that idea of taking a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my car with my children. They were younger at the time. And the woman next to me were waiting for a freight train. So we were there for a while. She finished her McDonald's burger and her fries and threw the entire bag out her window. And my kids and I saw this. So I got out of my car, put it in park, got out of my car. And she had her window open. I said, oh, you dropped something. And she rolled up her window and I smashed it in front of her.
Oh, nice.
I would never do that today.
Right.
This was probably about 10 years ago. I would have never done it today, but I love the idea of the cell phone. She just thought I was nuts, and probably my kids did too, but I was trying to make a point that this is not right.
Did you talk about this with your kids afterwards?
Absolutely.
You did. All right, good.
Absolutely.
I would be scared to do that now. I really would.
I know.
Either they have a gun,
or
they're going to sue us for, you know, messing up their property. You can't just go up and touch somebody's car.
Oh, I didn't touch her car. I just picked up the bag and smashed it and you know, crumpled it up and said, you dropped something.
I want to travel with you. I don't know where you're going next, but I want in. This is great.
I would have been following her probably and taking a picture of her.
Oh, yeah.
I like that idea, though. Social media, public shaming.
Yeah, that's strong.
Well,
thank you so much.
Do that again.
Thanks, Julie.
Great idea. Bye, Julie.
I hope I'm not driving in front of Julie ever.
All right. Everybody, thank you for your ideas. I will take them all under advisement. I hope it plays out different next time. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news. And then a museum, the likes of which you've never heard of or seen before. We'll explain more next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, you know, one of the problems with museums is that they're just too stuffy, too highbrow, too high-end. Not the THNK 1994 Museum in New York. The curators of that museum, Viviana Olin and Matt Harkins, join us right now to talk about the THNK 1994 Museum in New York. Hi, Viviana. Hi, Matt. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
All right, so it's not stuffy. Why don't you explain what's going on in this museum?
Well, our permanent collection is what we started last year in the hallway of our apartment building because we watched a documentary on Tonya Harding on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it became the Tonya Harding Nancy Kerrigan 1994 Museum. We actually met one artist through that. And we saw about a few months ago, she had a painting of an Olsen twin hiding from the paparazzi. And we were so moved by it.
Wait a minute. You were so moved by a picture of one of the Olsen twins hiding from the paparazzi.
Well, it was a picture of a painting, and we saw it on Instagram and could not shut up about it. And the main question we have is, why is this not in a museum? And then it took us a little bit to remember, but then eventually we remembered, oh, yeah, that's right, we have a museum.
We've all seen pictures.
Go on. Oh, so we spent the last few months raising money, and we built an exhibit around it. And
yeah.
The exhibit was called, of course, The Olsen Twins Hiding from the Paparazzi. And we found an old doctor's office that let us host it because it was just too big for a hallway. That's how amazing it was. And we just had a very successful exhibition with it. You could come and you could hide behind things. It was very powerful.
Did you have their actual purses or something that you could hide behind? Because that would be really great if they donated a purse or something to the museum.
We didn't get one. They have these like $50,000 backpacks. We were unable to acquire one of those. But in the artist Laura Collins, who's from Chicago, in one of her paintings, they're hiding behind just a giant Birkin bag. So we made a giant Birkin bag for people to hide behind.
Cool.
All right, so we've all seen pictures of Mary-Kate and Ashley, and I'm embarrassed that I still remember their names, but I do. We've all seen pictures of them doing that, hiding from the paparazzi. But whose idea was it to take it to the next level and not just show photographs of this, but actual paintings? Who advanced this?
That was definitely the series was Laura Collins's. And but once we saw it, we knew that we had to show it to the world. And I think the thing is, when you see all of the paintings lined up together, especially in a dark hallway, which is how we presented it, it's very creepy.
Yeah.
It's very jarring. And you instantly feel bad for looking at these women who are hiding their faces from you. And I think that was what people really responded to.
What has the reaction?
We had a two-way mirror.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we found a doctor's office that had a two-way mirror. How great and creepy is that?
Yeah, totally creepy. A doctor's office. And it was a gynecological office, wasn't it?
They kind of covered everything. They had pediatrics as well.
Oh.
But, I mean, to be fair, it was near the waiting room. It wasn't in, like, an exam room. So it was so, but let's feel a little better that way. But it is so creepy.
And what has the reaction been from people fortunate enough to see the exhibit of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen hiding from the paparazzi paintings? What has their reaction mostly been?
Pure joy, I think. People ask what we wanted people to leave with, and I think our big thing was selfies, a lot of good selfies.
Yeah.
And I think that they got those. It was a selfie safe zone, which most museums are not, and I think we definitely delivered on our mission on that.
There's a telephone.
Yeah, there were a lot of people taking. What's that?
Isn't there an exhibit that has a telephone that will only accept a very specific kind of phone call as well?
From Stephen Avery in Making a Murderer.
Well, we had a telephone. Yeah, we had a telephone that would ring throughout the day, and it would be on the other line was a representative from Netflix offering people a role on Fuller House.
How about that?
To see who turned it down and who accepted it.
Did you have you watched Fuller House?
I did. I was a big Olsen Twins fan growing up because, like, we're the same age, you know, and I was just wanted to see them. I rewatched the episodes of Fuller House totally cynically. I was like, "These are going to be so stupid," but they are like a big bowl of potatoes. They're so comforting. It doesn't try to be anything it's not. I suggest having a bottle of wine and just revisiting because it is very fun.
I hate to admit that I have watched the first seven episodes and I've found myself enjoying it
no.
a little bit. I'm sorry,
no.
Stamos is gorgeous.
It's a big bowl of potatoes. It's fun.
So given a chance, Viviana, between watching seven episodes of Fuller House and just staring at a bowl of potatoes, you would choose which?
No, comfort food, like eating it.
Yeah.
Yeah, do I get to eat the potatoes while watching? Because I'm very...
Yeah,
very
I throw that in, sure. Exactly. Absolutely. Okay. None of the cast or anything, nobody from the show actually came and saw the exhibit, though, right?
We had two fun kind of things. Dave Coulier had a Reddit Ask Me Anything, and so we asked if he was coming, and he said, no, he thinks it's great. And then he plugged one of his appearances on Good Morning America.
Oh.
And then the second thing is... We tweeted out at one point, somebody bring us Frappuccinos. And then 2 hours later, a courier came with two Frappuccinos anonymously. They didn't tell us who it was from. And I mean, who has money to send Frappuccinos by a courier except for the Olsen family?
Sure.
So as far as we're concerned, they sent us Frappuccinos.
I guess they did.
All right, so the exhibit wrapped up yesterday, is that true? It was in New York?
Yeah, it was in Brooklyn, and we yesterday had our last day, and then we said goodbye to our last visitors, and then we started to try and figure out how we were going to take it all down before the landlord starts asking questions.
But if people still want to see Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan, 1994, THNK, 1994, can they just come to the lobby of your building?
Please don't. You feel free to email us. We have a website with a contact form, THNK1994.com, or go to our Twitter at Matt and Viviana, and you can DM us there. We love when people slide into our DMs. And we do that by appointment, and we definitely want to do more exhibits. We want to go to bigger and better hallways. And
that's your great tagline, isn't it? Going to bigger and better hallways.
Yeah, our dream is to get into like the Hall of Versailles, but then like make it all about like Faye Resnick or something.
Very nice,
Faye Resnick.
And guys, you clear this up. I always thought that Ashley Olsen was immensely talented, but that Mary-Kate was just kind of riding on her coattails. What are your thoughts?
We challenge to tell if you can tell them apart.
Oh, all right.
We still can't.
All right, that's fair.
Bill, you must really like them if you can tell them apart.
Oh, I can. Their acting styles are completely different. Completely different.
All right. Well, Laura Collins is the artist who put these together, and she's from Chicago. So our next phone call should be to Laura Collins to see if this exhibit is coming to Chicago.
We want it here.
I got to see it.
Tell her hi for us.
We will. Thank you, guys. Viviana Olin and Matt Harkins, curators of the THNK 1994 Museum in beautiful New York City. Take care, guys. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, a quick break.
The website, by the way, THNK1994.com, and you can see some of the pictures of the giant purses
they're
hanging behind. And then this Laura Collins has a whole thing of people falling at beauty pageants. That's another exhibit. We got to get in touch with her. She's from Chicago.
She sounds twisted, doesn't she? All right, a break. More show coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Have you confirmed your attendance yet?
You know what?
You better confirm
really
your attendance.
But I've been looking around at some ideas. I need to
what
update
are you gonna
a
get?
Few things. I need to... My I have fixed so many drawers in my old stock kitchen cabinets in my kitchen.
Yeah.
I got to look at stuff.
Yeah.
I really do.
What's the perfect place then? Great timing.
Bathroom vanities. You will not believe the prices. And you know when you put the little padded corners on the corner of your countertops when your kids are toddlers?
Yeah, for safety reasons,
yeah.
So they don't poke their eye out.
You gave
out.
Me a weird look, yeah. But it's so long ago that your kids
it's
were toddlers.
It's been a while, yeah.
Well, I ruined the vanity in the bathroom by putting those stupid adhesive corners on, and when I pulled them off, it pulled like the whole trim.
Oh no!
It's just fiberboard. It's ugly. The toilet overflowed yesterday with Jim out of town.
Yeah.
So that got wet. I think I need a new vanity.
Did you still blame him even though he was out of town? I would have found a way to pin it on him somehow.
No, and I have to tell you, Jim was gone for the weekend. He left Thursday, came home last night. I picked him up. I took the ARC to Midway Airport to pick him up. Had to drive around four times because they were delayed a little bit. Mm-hmm. If that guy would have touched my car with his little flashlight one more time, I was going to kick him.
Are you getting a lot of that?
Yeah. Move along.
Right.
And I just noticed if Jim is out of town, I get more stuff done.
Is that right?
I don't know why, but I'm a little bit of a clutterer, and I got two huge garbage bags full of Goodwill clothes. There was stuff that I bought that I wore once that was expensive, but it's like, you know what? I'm not going to wear it again.
Sure.
The boys were wrestling and spilled Coke on the rug, so I cleaned up the rug. Then I go, you know, I'm just going to vacuum, wash the floors, do some laundry, take the garbage out. And I told him all this when he got home, and he's like, boy, I should go away more often.
Yeah, I think look for that. I bet you'll see that happen a lot more. Is that good or bad?
I don't know.
Somewhere in the middle?
I just feel like if he's here, I will ask him to do something and try as he might. Doesn't always get it done. And then if you give somebody like, hey, this is off my plate and on your plate.
Yeah.
And then it comes back on my plate. So maybe he should just move away.
No. Kevin, write this date down. Write this date and time down. This is, and put the brackets beginning of the end. Just write that down in there.
I don't mean that. And it was so nice to get him home. But I could never be a boss because I'm bossy, but not a boss. Because if you have to say, okay, here's your project, Mr. Leff, could you handle this?
Yeah.
It must be hard to be a boss to have faith in your employee to give them a project.
Sure, of course.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I know I'm a bit of a control freak. I get that.
Yeah.
But it just must be really difficult.
Well, but the key element here is that you get more done without him there. That's curious to me because it would seem like twice as many people getting the job done is a better thing, but for some reason it isn't. I don't know why.
But I find myself then I'm not asking him to do stuff. I just
more
do it myself.
Dependent on you. Yeah, I get that. I understand that.
You know? And
I do.
I actually had to load the dishwasher.
Yeah.
He does that all the time.
That's usually
his
thing.
So I really missed him, and the dog missed his walks.
Oh.
So I missed him a lot.
Life's back to normal now. Right?
Yes.
Really quick, did you see who's in trouble nationwide? Somebody we know is getting a lot of attention nationwide.
Yes,
somebody
I
you
did.
And I have worked with is in a lot of trouble nationwide.
I
thought this story might be local trouble, but it's turned
all
out
over
to national
place.
Trouble.
Bubble a bubble a boomski.
Our friend Bruce Wolf tweeted something not long ago that a lot of people are up in arms about. And
was it Friday night?
Yeah, Friday night. Bruce Wolf tweeted. Now, I guess you need to know the backstory here. The backstory is this. Most people know the Freddie Gray story, right? This is the kid who sadly was killed in Baltimore.
In police custody. And people have, some officers have been charged in his murder.
Correct. Well, the White Sox, our Chicago White Sox, were playing in Baltimore the other night, and Bruce put on Twitter, here's a direct quote, "Sox in their Freddie Gray road uniforms in Baltimore tonight." They were wearing gray uniforms. Bruce threw on the part about Freddie Gray road uniforms.
But wasn't it the year anniversary of it?
Yeah, it's coming right up on that, I believe.
And that was a game where a curfew was in effect because it started a bunch of riots.
Yeah.
And so, remember, this is like the first time in history the Sox played the Orioles. It was an empty ball field.
Yeah.
That's all coming back.
Yeah.
So, Bruce.
I understand the impetus to make light of an event, but this was a little dangerous.
Not this event.
No, this was a little bit on the dangerous side. So like I said, he was getting slammed for it locally, but I saw it on several national news sources. I'm actually looking at a story right now from the Washington Post. Chicago media personality made an awful Freddie Gray joke, and the internet let him have it, and they have. There's plenty of people. Because I'm not on Twitter, I don't understand this, but I guess the ultimate thing you can say when you don't like something on Twitter is delete your account. I didn't know that because there's dozens and dozens of people who are saying, hey, delete your account. You shouldn't be on Twitter. What you're saying is so offensive that even Twitter isn't ready for it.
You can say that on Facebook and any other social media site, too. You need to run these things past someone. And I know his wife, and I wish he would have just run it past her.
Bruce is an attorney, isn't he? Like
part-time right now,
I would think anybody would know the ramifications of something that's dangerous. It would be Bruce, who's an attorney.
In these racially charged times, that is not something that I think
right.
is ever funny.
Right.
Seriously.
How many times, I don't know, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, does something come into your head that you go, I want to say this, I think it would be funny, but then you play on a margin where you go, but so many people would be offended by this that it's almost not worth saying. Clever as it might be, you go, it would upset too many people for me to say this, so I'm going to try not to say this.
Several times a day you and I do this off the air.
Yeah.
But we run it through, you know, right. a filter.
Right.
Like, what do you think? Nah.
Right.
Or, you know, a lot of the times I'll give both of ourselves credit here. We know, I probably shouldn't go on the air.
I still would say a couple get on every week that if you had to take them back, you'd take them back, wouldn't you? I know for me, there's easily 3 to 5 per week where I go, oh, in retrospect, that might have been a little too much.
But this is live. This is just coming off the cuff. It's not like a pre-planned, keep it under how many characters Twitter account.
Right.
I mean,
he had time to think this out.
And rework it.
Although, for the sake of the joke, you can't rework it. But by the same token, the joke is so dangerous anyway that you go, this will get attention, but it will upset more people than it pleases.
His defense right? is he just wants to be loved.
Is that his defense mm-hmm. on this? I don't know that this is bringing him much love.
It's getting you attention, Bruce. That's for sure.
It's getting him attention, but I'm not positive it's bringing him love. Do you think if you were him and you did this and it got as much negative attention, wouldn't you go, it's time for me to apologize?
He apologized.
He has?
Yeah, he right. said, yeah, you should. There's a whole thing that I don't have right now. That he said, you know, I'm sorry if I offended anyone, but his whole thing was he wanted some love.
Yeah.
Everybody wants love.
If he did apologize, I give him a lot more credit because I didn't know he had apologized yet.
Yeah, but it's like, again, like when kids apologize and they keep doing the same things.
Right.
I don't know. I love Bruce. I really do, but I don't know that. And it just wasn't appropriate.
No, it was a little much. I don't know. I understand that spark where you go, hey, I've thought of something that's pretty clever. Let me share it with the world. But then you have to also take a second to go, but a lot more people will be upset by this than will be happy with this, right? All right, we'll take a break. Steve has the news, and then we have a lot more show coming your way. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Join WGN Radio and enjoy Lakeshore Drive car-free and carefree. It's MB Bike the Drive, Sunday, May 29th, and it only happens once a year. Go to mbfinancial.com/bike to find out how to get a free ride.
No hype, just honest-to-goodness value day in, day out. Those are the closing words of each commercial from Goods Furniture. And when you make that short trip to Kewaunee and visit Goods Furniture, they don't exaggerate sales with hyped-up commercials. No, they'd rather make you feel right at home, where you'll be able to see, touch, and feel the items that you want in your own home. So sit, relax, and visualize the pieces that speak to you the most. And when it comes to value, well, that's what you'll get day in and day out. Value that's far superior to what you'll find elsewhere. So experience a great day at Goods Furniture while enjoying the warm ambience of their wine cellar restaurant and the shops at Market Square. It's just an easy drive out west on I-80, or you can even jump on the Amtrak to Kewaunee. Goods Furniture, open every day from 9 to 6. Goods Furniture, reminding you once again, no hype, just honest-to-goodness value, day in, day out.
Taking Natron's Healthy Trinity has become a daily family routine in our household, and now in your household.
It has. We're all feeling good. Thanks.
My family takes it every day, Bill and his wife. And are your girls taking Healthy Trinity as well?
One of the two is.
That's how it was. Like, Michael takes it religiously, but Dylan sometimes doesn't feel like taking it.
Is that right? Reese is on board. I don't know why Kylie won't do it.
Well, it helps to boost our natural defenses.
I'll change her mind, by the way. That's my goal. I'm gonna set out to make sure everyone in our family's taking it and our neighbors.
Oh, that would be good.
I'm gonna stop by in the morning with a tray with the Trinity on it and say, take some healthy Trinity and see the results.
And then you can go to natron.com. If they order, though, just make sure they use the promo code Wendy.
Auto-ship, too. I'm going to tell them auto-ship.
Yeah, because you save money, and then you can take it off your to-do list, and it just comes to your house. In a nutshell, probiotics are beneficial bacteria that we need in our gut to protect our inner ecosystem. When your body is running at peak performance, it helps to boost your natural defenses, and you feel better. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you take the Natron 90-Day Risk-Free Challenge? Bill took it, and now he's a full-blown customer. I've been on it. I've been taking this for years. Natron's the only company that I trust because they put probiotics on the map. Try it. You will feel the difference. And if you don't, just return it with their 90-Day Risk-Free Challenge and their money-back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, you get a full refund. No questions. Call 1-866-4-NATRON. That's 1-866-4-NATREN. Or visit natron.com. And if you do, as I said, enter promo code Wendy.
All right, a lot more coming up on the show, including Eric Zorn, who will stop by at 11:35. He'll talk about stuff with us. Right now it's news time. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. This report is sponsored by Penny Mustard Furnishings. Here's Steve Bertrand.
Mostly sunny. We're at 52 degrees now at O'Hare. Medical marijuana can be used for 39 ailments in Illinois. The state board that regulates that will consider 15 others today, including PTSD. The governor has rejected past efforts to expand the program. Gannett's lighting a fire under Tribune Publishing in its bid to acquire the company. WGN's Steve Grzanich looks at that.
Gannett's going directly to shareholders, but stopping short of initiating a hostile takeover bid for Tribune Publishing. Gannett's asking shareholders of Trib to withhold support for a slate of 8 board nominees to be considered at an annual meeting June 2nd in Chicago. The move would send a message to Tribune that shareholders want the company to have good faith negotiations with Gannett, the owner of USA Today. Tribune Publishing's responded by saying it's evaluating the purchase offer and says Gannett's suggestion otherwise is misleading and disingenuous. Steve Grzanich, WGN News.
Ted Cruz has staked a lot on Indiana, and the polls show him trailing Donald Trump in the Republican race for president, the primary coming up tomorrow.
We are competing hard right up until the moment that the ballots close here in Indiana.
He has 10 stops scheduled for Indiana today. Federal authorities say the FBI has thwarted a plot aimed at a South Florida Jewish center. A spokeswoman for the Miami U.S. Attorney's Office says a national security-related arrest was made on Friday. The FDA's latest anti-smoking campaign takes aim at young adults in the LGBT community, who officials say are nearly twice as likely to use tobacco as their peers. It is a $35 million effort targeting the 40% of the 2 million LGBT young adults in the U.S. who occasionally smoke. This past weekend, the sports world was focused on Chicago with the NFL draft. Now foodies will have their eyes on Chicago tonight. WGN's Kim Gordon reports Chicago's hosting the Oscars of the food world.
The James Beard Awards will be held tonight at the Lyric Opera. It's the second year in a row the ceremony's been held in Chicago. Several Chicago restaurants and chefs are up for awards. Alinea is nominated for Best Restaurant. Curtis Duffy of Grace and Abraham Conlon of Fat Rice among those up for Best Chef in the Great Lakes. Kim Gordon, WGN News.
We'll check your money, sports, traffic, and weather. All next on WGN.
Mother's Day is this week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 5000. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. With fresh flowers, guaranteed delivery, and add-ons to complete your gift, Pro Flowers has everything you need to be a gifting expert on Mother's Day. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date and it's guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms sent fresh from the fields and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days for $19.99, and will include a free glass vase. Hurry, Mother's Day is this week, and this incredible special expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 5000. That's proflowers.com, secret code 5000.
Shipping charges not included. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition. Double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit Tito'sVodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka. Fifth Generation Inc. Distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
When you think about your retirement, do you worry about running out of money? Let's face it, the market's been riding high for years now, and history tells us it will correct itself. Do you remember 2008 and 2009 when investors lost 25 to 50%? Fortunately, our clients have converted their investment risk into a monthly income they can never outlive. Do you own an IRA or 401k? If so, our advisors can show you how to increase your payouts by 70% or more. Call 1-800-437-0478 right now for our free DVD, Paycheck for Life. Retirement is not about your assets. It's all about your income. Call now and get your piece of sleep insurance. Call 1-800-437-0478 or visit smartmoneyadvisors.com. That's 1-800-437-0478. 1-800-437-0478.
Your money on WGN. The Dow's up 49 points today. The NASDAQ up 4 and the S&P 500 up 5. WGN Sports. White Sox have the night off. The Cubs open up a road series against the Pittsburgh Pirates this evening. Now look at WGN traffic. Dolly McCarthy.
Still seeing heavy delays. Westbound on the Borman near Grant Street. An earlier crash there has just been cleared. Elsewhere so far, so good on the rest of your expressways and tollways. No accidents or incidents to report. And all are moving close to or right at their base travel time. Just one slow patch, though, over on the inbound Dan Ryan approaching the circle. You're 20 minutes from 95th into the Burns Circle. Out in the suburbs, watch out for a crash in Bartlett on Oak Avenue and Oneida Avenue. And in Palos Park, a car into a pond. This is at 134th Street and Southwest Highway. Dolly McCarthy, WGN Traffic Central.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, partly to mostly cloudy today, a high of 57. Wind will come off the lake, so it'll be a little cooler lakeside, down to 42 tonight. And then tomorrow we warm up a bit, 68 under partly to mostly sunny skies. 52 right now at O'Hare and Midway and Niles, 48 at the lake. Winds are northeast at 14 and the barometer's falling. Next news at 11:30 or when news breaks, and at WGNradio.com. I'm Steve Bertrand on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. How can you reach us easily? 312-981-7200. That's our call line. That's our text line.
I've been ignoring the texts. I'm sorry, texters.
Why would you ignore them?
I don't know.
They're full-fledged citizens.
I just have not been...
You need to buy them a fruit basket or something. Send them some tangerines. That'll win them back over. I know in the past, whenever we have discussed guns on the show, we've gotten calls and texts adamant one way or the other. And I understand that. I know how polarizing the topic of guns can be. However, here is a story that falls, for me anyway, somewhere in the middle. Like,
right.
Normally a gun story, you go, well, that guy should not have had a gun in the first place. But here's a story that I don't know. For instance, before I tell you the story... I've always thought that if somebody breaks into your home, all bets are off. Do whatever you have to do to protect yourself and your family. You know what I mean? Not so much your things, because your things are replaceable. But if somebody comes into your house and they're threatening you, your life or the life of your family, you got to do whatever you got to do to get rid of that person, right?
You have to survive is the bottom line.
Yeah.
You have to survive.
They've crossed the line once they break into my house.
What if they don't have a weapon, though, and they break into your house?
Oh, that's tricky.
See what I mean?
Tricky.
You know, why can't people just respect other people and other people's things?
That's a good question.
I mean, really, that's really all it's about.
It's a solid question. Now into the story, I bring in Chris Gaither. Chris is an 11-year-old boy from Talladega, Alabama.
NASCAR fan.
It doesn't say here, but I'm guessing
Talladega, I'm pretty sure.
I would put down, if I had $1,000, I'd bet all 1,000 that he is a fan of the NASCAR. He is now going to tell you a story. We have a little bit of audio for you. About the events that took place in his home recently, where he was forced to use his gun on an intruder. Listen to this report. This comes from an NBC affiliate, WVTM, out in Alabama. Listen to his story.
I told him I was going to kill him all that with a gun if he didn't get out of my house.
11-year-old Chris Gaither was home alone Wednesday morning when he heard a noise. Someone had broken into his house. Scared, Chris grabbed a 9mm handgun.
When he's come downstairs and told me he's going to kill me and F you all that.
The intruder made it out the front door with a hamper in hand. That's when Chris started firing off bullets. As the intruder was to jump this fence, Chris's 12th and final shot hit the bad guy in the leg.
I shot through a hamper that he was carrying, and it was a full metal jacket bullet. I went straight through the bag of him and his leg. Wow. And he started crying like a little baby.
A baby that learned his lesson.
When I pulled the gun out on him, I guess he didn't think it was a real gun because he didn't worry about it. He just kept on walking.
The police have not released the name of the suspect, but Chris's mother says this man has robbed their house before. They don't know him personally. Chris credits his stepdad for his shooting skills.
Yeah, I play zombies for target practice.
Turns out there's more than a basset hound on guard.
I hope you learned your lesson from coming to this house trying to steal stuff.
In Talladega, Kyle Berger, WVTM 13 News.
Can I just say something? His stepdad taught him how to shoot.
That's correct.
It took 12 bullets
to hit. It took him a couple of shots before.
12.
Yes.
He missed 11.
Well, he's only 11, so one per year. He was shooting one per year.
And doesn't seem to be the
he's
least
not upset
bit
at all.
Upset about it.
He's not even a little bit
he
upset.
Crying like a baby.
Do not crawl into Chris Gaither's home, Wendy, because he will shoot you. It'll take him several shots before he gets you, but he will shoot you. Was the burglar there specifically to steal the hamper? That's what it sounded like in the story. Is he a hamper thief?
No.
Or did he just at some point go, I can't get anything else. Maybe dirty laundry in a hamper is my only thing that I can get out of here with. Why did he steal her hamper?
I think he stole things and put them in the hamper so he could carry them out like a shopping cart. Because there wasn't a shopping cart in the house.
I know that life is a little different in Alabama than it is here. Because if I turned to a life of crime, I would not steal people's hampers.
Well, because you don't want to be known as the hamper bandit. That is bad.
You do not want to be known as the hamper bandit.
But think about it. If you're grabbing stuff in the house and, you know, it's good stuff,
right.
Like, you know, the old Laserdisc player.
Right.
In the Talladega home.
Right.
The 8-track player.
Right. I'm guessing some Confederate flags. Not a lot, but there probably are one or two Confederate flags to be stolen in the home.
Snow cone maker.
Snow cone maker for sure.
You got how
bottle
can
of Ripple.
Yeah, see, how can you carry all that? So you put it in a hamper.
Right.
And then this kid says, you know,
I'm going to hit you eventually, sir. Wait patiently while I continue to reload my weapon.
He didn't reload. He had 12 rounds in it.
Right.
Just like Deadpool.
Full metal. It's a full metal. What did he say?
Full metal jacket bullet. I don't know what that is.
I wouldn't have known that
Francis.
When I was 11, and I don't know what that is now. It sounds serious, just the way he said it. Full metal jacket. I'm like, uh-oh.
Would we be playing this and talking about this if he killed the guy?
That's what I'm leaning toward. That's what I'm getting at. Is like, how differently would this story have played out if he was a better aim? Maybe he's a great aim. Maybe he was just shooting to slow this guy down. He wanted his hamper back, so he just wanted to get him in the leg. But what if, that's exactly what I was getting at. What if this guy had been killed?
Well, people are going to say he broke into the house. And according to this little 11-year-old, the guy said, I'm going to kill you, and used an F word.
Yes, he did.
Now, if he says, I'm going to kill you, if that's true, the kid is
then
in fear for his life.
Right.
But he didn't sound like he was in fear of anything.
No, he did not. No, he did not. All right, now here's another
part. He cried like a little baby.
Right, that's the part that's disturbing. Well,
so he taunted
that's
him.
One of the parts that's disturbing. All right, so the mom said that this guy had robbed the house before, which is weird. But I guess if you know your territory, if you go, I know how to get in, get to the hamper, and get out. I know where they keep their hamper. It's
right
at the
end
of the hall.
They got a new hamper. I need a new hamper.
Right.
I know where they keep it. You're right.
I got to go in, get myself another hamper, and get out as quickly as I can. But now if you're that guy and you got young Chris Gaither on the news taunting him, crying like a little baby.
And try and kill the little 11-year-old.
That's what's frightening me, is be a little kinder in the taunts, Chris. Say
It's okay to shoot, but no taunting afterwards?
No.
Well, you crying like a little baby.
If I'm at home watching that and I see that, I'm like, well, I gotta go in for the hat trick. I've already robbed the house twice. I gotta go back one more time. Chris Gaither taunted me.
708 says a full metal jacket means a solid slug of lead covered with copper. They made so it would go through multiple objects.
Oh.
Because it did. It went through the hamper and then through the back of his leg.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, I knew this was going to come up. Here's a text. We can read the text, we can take a break, and we can discuss.
All right.
Don't you find it more disturbing that the person was breaking into someone's house?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's the worst part, sure. You shouldn't do that.
And, you know, you said this was not for or against guns because this is kind of in the middle. The kid, the robber allegedly said, I'm going to kill you. The kid is alive.
If somebody broke into my house, if they just came to steal my hamper, I would say, you can have the hamper. I don't need it. The hamper doesn't mean that much to me. I'll miss it, but I can get another hamper. But if my family's in danger, I would do whatever I can to stop him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You must survive. That is the bottom line
right.
if somebody breaks into your house.
Right.
And, you know, I guess you can't wait around to see if they have a weapon.
Right.
But
do we know if that guy had a weapon? I don't know.
He had a hamper.
If I had a hamper.
You'd hamper in the morning.
I'd hamper in the morning. All right, your thoughts on this, 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I hope you learned a lesson from coming to this house trying to steal stuff.
I hope that guy learns his lesson, Wendy. Chris Gaither is not to be messed with. He's an 11-year-old boy in Talladega, Alabama. The local hamper thief broke into his house and stole his hamper again. Chris took matters into his own hands and shot him in the leg. Will he come back for a third trip? We don't know. What are your thoughts? 312-981-7200. Was Chris within his rights to shoot and then taunt the local hamper thief?
That's the best question ever. Hi, Tony. What would you have done?
Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment, and I do own guns. But, I mean, this kid is really lucky he didn't kill that guy because I got a problem. Everybody's going to have a problem if you hit somebody trying to climb over a fence, running away from you. Even, I don't know, him in a leg. I mean, the guy's, he's not a threat anymore.
Right.
He's running away. He's trying to get over a fence. I always had the mindset, if somebody broke into my house, even the sound of you chambering around into the gun is going to put fear into somebody.
Sure.
I still say, I don't know what I would do. You never know what you're going to do. I mean, if the person has a weapon, I'm probably going to fire first. But if he doesn't, I think I'm going to give him the option to get the heck out of my house. You know what I mean? And if he's running away from me, you can't put one in his back. You're going to have a big problem with the court.
That's what I'm wondering. If that guy had died, does Chris Gaither go to jail for that? I mean, the guy was on his property.
Well,
but he
juvie
was,
home.
Yeah.
He can't go to jail at 11.
But that guy was running away.
Yeah. I mean, if he was coming at him, and he put one in his chest, hey, so be it. He was a threat.
Yeah.
But when he's going over a fence and it took you 12 shots to hit him and you finally got one in his leg running away from you, I don't think that's the proper thing to do.
See, and this guy can still come back and sue him. And I know everybody's going to say, well, he broke into the house. I'm confused as to why this is a repeat visit
yes.
to the homestead.
Right. Yeah, and it sounds like he's a known person to the family. I don't know that for sure, but it sounds a little fishy.
And you own a gun, Tony. Isn't your goal in life to never have to kill someone?
Oh, absolutely. And, if I did, I think I'd be, I'd have serious issues after that fact. But then again, I got to think, if it's me or my family or him, guess who's going to go?
Sure.
Absolutely. But it's like we're getting some texts of people like, oh, should have killed him. No, I mean, you know what? You have a gun for protection. I don't. I won't. So don't bother me because there's no gun in my house. But I don't think you'd want to kill someone. You got to live with that.
No, I mean, you even talked to, I've talked to cops. That I don't know any cops that have actually taken anybody's life, but they have told me about people they know. And it haunts them the rest of their life pretty much. Nobody wants to take anybody's life if you don't have to.
Right, right. Not over a hamper. Come on.
There was stuff in the hamper.
and I mean, like I said, you're running away. You are not a threat anymore.
No.
That's true. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. And I do believe that, his stepdaddy taught him how to shoot.
Step-paw.
Not well, though, because, it took...
It took a lot of shots.
11 misses before that 12th one got him.
Right.
And Paul's, you don't think that's bad? 11 shots?
it's not that bad. If you got somebody running, and by the way, Jimmy Mack is your protector, but he's got some guns. I've seen pictures of him. Those guns he's got.
Those guns aren't loaded.
those muscles that I'm talking about. Anyway, no. So here's.
I'm actually blushing. Anybody, do you see me blushing?
I see you blushing. Yeah.
glad I can make your day good. So. And here's the deal. You don't, Tony, that just got off the phone with you, he's 100% common sense on this. Everything he said is exactly what I'll say. The guy's running from you. You got to stop shooting. This kid's lucky he didn't kill the guy. The guy can turn around and sue because most laws state that as soon as you're no longer a threat and you attack somebody that's no longer a threat, well, now they can come after you, criminally or civilly. The kid shooting 11 rounds.
Yeah.
And then not hitting him until the 12th, it's not easy when someone's running away from you. Wherever you're pointing that gun, you got to remember there's recoil in there, too. If this kid's just bang, 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 he's dealing with all this recoil. The gun's probably not pointing exactly wherever this kid's pointing it. So it's not easy to shoot somebody who's running away from you, you know, which kind of makes me even wonder more why this kid was shooting, you know, his peepaw or... Whatever.
Okay. Well, we don't know. I will tell you that we are getting such mixed text here. Once the intruder has left the home, he shouldn't have shot him. You can only defend Correct. Yourself with a firearm if it's inside the home. And then somebody else says, yeah. Castle law, the guy is on their property.
But what about this? The mother recognized this guy. So couldn't Chris say, remember the guy who robbed us a year and a half ago? That guy came back. So then it's easy to find this guy. You don't have to shoot at him. You just say to the cops, it's the same guy who robbed us a year and a half ago.
Well, that's what you do, but you got to prove that the guy, I mean, is there a police report from a year and a half ago? You know, is there a police report now? The bottom line is the kid, you can't shoot. If I've been on people's properties many a times. I'm a PI. I'm a process server. Do you want to keep off people's property I go on that threaten they're going to shoot me? You can't shoot me. I'm here to do legal business. Even if I was here to go back and get a drone or a kite or my lost cat. You can't shoot me. I'm not a threat to you. You could call the police and have me escorted off your property. If I threaten to kill you or point a gun at you, you could shoot me.
Oops, your phone is breaking up. Paul, thank you for calling. I was asking you this off the air. Say I'm really drunk one night and I walk to the wrong...
This is hypothetical, right?
I don't really drink that much anymore. Say years ago when I used to drink more.
A long time ago, all right.
You know, our neighbor's house kind of looks like ours, and maybe I'm really drunk, and I walk up and go to Jack and Julie's house, and the door's open, and I walk in, and Jack shoots me.
Right.
He would be in big trouble. Well, he would feel bad. And he'd go, Wendy, what? Hey, you need another one?
I'm sorry I shot you.
You need a nightcap? Right. But I mean, really, if I walked in and wasn't a threat to somebody, you can't just shoot me because I walked in your house.
No.
I mean, I guess you can, but then you'll pay for it.
Get a bad reputation. All the neighbors ago. Those are the people that shoot people. They shot the UPS guy and the pizza guy. What's wrong with those people?
Listen, if you're going to shoot someone, go ahead and shoot them, but you shouldn't taunt them afterwards.
No.
Not a good thing.
That kid is on TV just taunting him.
Cry like a baby. He's crying like a baby.
That's no good. Don't taunt criminals on the TV.
And this guy's going to come back since he didn't kill him.
Right.
He's going to come back and get him. We'll see who's taunting
Third
who.
Time's a charm. When you're robbing the Gaither house, it's the third time that you got to watch out for.
We have so many more calls and not enough time to get to him.
Well, thanks, everybody, for contributing. I told you, I know how polar opposite that a story like this is. Anytime there's guns, there's people who are all the way on one side, all the way on the other. I fall right in the middle on this one. I understand wanting to defend your property, but in this case, that guy already had the hammer and was out the door. So I would have let him slide on that.
Yeah, because you're right. You could say, hey, call the police, call 911. See the guy running down the street with a hamper?
That's the guy.
That's your guy.
That's the guy. Don't you see this on the news every night at 10 o'clock when they show the news? There'll be some witness to a crime or somebody, and they always put that person's name in the box. Like, I saw the guy who did this. I saw that guy. And then it says the guy's name who's on the news. I always go, I wouldn't do that on the news.
A lot of people don't. Sometimes they muffle their voice like this, where it sounds very Darth Vader, and they don't put their
name. I'd give them Kevin's name if I was on the news. Yeah.
You totally would.
Say, I'm Kevin Richter. I saw the whole thing, and I'm Kevin Richter.
Here's my address.
Give my address. Yep. All right, we got to take a break. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Well, without a doubt, he is the feistiest columnist in Chicago newspapers. It's Eric Zorn sitting right over there. Hello, feisty Eric Zorn.
It's good that there's a distance between us because sometimes my feistiness is just too much and it imposes on your personal space.
I cannot handle it. We wanted to talk a little bit with you about the correspondence dinner that was held over the weekend. For people who are not aware of the correspondence dinner, what exactly is it?
It's this, they call it the Nerd Prom. Yeah. And every year, all the journalists in Washington and then people from around the country also come in for it. And it's a huge banquet in a big hotel in Washington. I'm not sure which one. And essentially, the main part of the evening is the president gets up and speaks, and he does a comedy routine, mm-hmm. followed by a noted comedian who gets up and has to follow the president, which never seems fair. Even when the president's not all that good, he's still the president, you know?
Wouldn't you agree that it is one of the biggest nights for comedy, not just in Washington, but in the country? Because, it's no holds barred. They can say whatever they want because it's under the guise of this night is just for fun, but a lot of honesty comes out on that night.
Yeah, Obama was pretty, it was funny, he was pretty harsh, actually harsher on Hillary Clinton, I thought, than he was on Bernie Sanders, who was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of swiping at the media that goes on. Obama seems particularly good at this. He's got really good comic timing, and he...
the best I've ever seen.
And he's sort of self-effacing at the same time. He makes jokes at his own expense. I think he's really, really good at it, and he's going to, probably get some gigs after he leaves office.
Yep.
But
stand-up gigs.
Yep.
One of the things he said was like, I'm going to try something like this. He said, I'm going to try some of my material tonight because if it goes well, I'm going to use it next year when I speak to Goldman Sachs.
Because it's been rumored that's where he's headed. Let me just play one of, there were several jokes he pulled out that were really, really funny the other night. But this is a prime example of how great his timing is, how beautiful he can deliver a punchline. Listen to President Barack Obama from the correspondence.
Norm O'Donnell left the briefing room to host CBS this morning. Jake Tapper left journalism to join CNN.
So that's the beauty of that is Jake Tapper was sitting there and enjoyed it just as much as anybody. That was not a shot on Jake Tapper. That was a shot at CNN.
A shot at CNN,
right. And the downfall of journalism in our country.
Well, and you compare that to Larry Wilmore, the host of The Nightly Show on Comedy Central. He took over for Colbert,
yeah.
Was a year ago, maybe a little bit
yeah.
more. And he came on, and he was doing jokes, but he was actually doing them at the expense of individual journalists. And he said something like, we have a number of black journalists here. He named a couple, and he said, and we also have Don Lemon.
Yeah.
You know, like Don Lemon's not a journalist. And Don Lemon gives him the finger.
Yes, he did.
From the audience.
Yes, he did.
My view, I thought Larry Wilmore's routine was just excruciatingly bad. Just not funny. He had a joke about, there's this thing on the internet where Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, the Zodiac Killer was operating when Ted Cruz was like 3 years old. But nevertheless, it's this internet meme. And he mined it. He did it over. He did like five jokes about it. He kept coming back going, well, he could be this. Carly Fiorina, she's running with a Zodiac Killer. And each time it got less funny. And he seemed kind of mean and like his writers. I mean, obviously these things were all done with writers. That his writers didn't realize the moment. They didn't realize. You got to really bring your A-plus game to this event.
It's a tough room. Cecily Strong did it last year from Saturday Night Live. They've had Stephen Colbert do it. They've had Seth Meyers do it. It's a tough job, but when done right, Seth Meyers was hysterical a couple years ago. Stephen Colbert was great a few years ago.
Colbert was good. Jon Stewart did it, I think. Well, I think Wanda Sykes was pretty good. I don't remember that routine really well, but I remember hearing that was good too. So it's a really tough job to do. Cecily Strong was not great.
She's okay.
She was sort of deadpan.
She's not a stand-up, though.
And the stakes were sort of, it was strange, because I'm not sure why they had her exactly.
Else was busy, maybe?
Maybe.
The person I'd like to see is Bill Maher.
He'd be all right.
Bill Maher is an excellent stand-up comedian. He's really tough and nasty.
Yeah.
But I think he's maybe too tough
and
nasty.
I'm not a fan of his at all.
You don't like him? No.
I really don't.
I know it's not that important for the president to have stand-up comedy skills, but I do think it says a lot about the person to be as confident as Barack Obama was and to deliver the lines in succession, just without failure. I mean, there were some jokes that did better than others,
right.
But for the most part, that was 20 big hard minutes, and he was just so likable and funny.
Well, and this means a lot coming from you, since you've done this. You know, you've done stand up comedy quite a bit, so you know how hard that is to hold a room and to.
Well, there's a balance you need to take where you're making, I always thought anyway, you make fun of yourself a little bit, you make fun of the room a little bit, you can be specific with certain jokes, but for the most part, you're up there to make people laugh and have a good time, and he was masterful at that again.
Oh, yeah, he's really good. He's
for the
really
eighth good. Year in a row.
But he was good, you know, but in fairness, George W. Bush was pretty good at it too, actually.
I liked George W. Bush as a person. I think it would have been fun to hang out with him. He seemed like a likable guy. I love Barack Obama. I think he feels in his heart he's trying to do what he can. He seems like a very good person. You can have your debates, you know, okay, Obama, blame him for everything. Mm-hmm. Do what you want, but as a person, I genuinely love that man.
Yeah, and I think we are going to miss him. The song they played on his way up, "You're Going to Miss Me When I'm Gone," I really do think that we will miss a lot of things about him. His intellect, his calmness, and his self-effacing attitude. And you know, the thing is, like, you realize he's had this young family in the White House for 8 years, and there hasn't been a hint of scandal around that family.
You're right. Remember Jenna Bush got drunk at a party or something?
I don't hold that.
I don't either.
George Bush,
I don't either.
For goodness sake. But it's just kind of amazing how that family has really, and down to the news this weekend that Malia is going to Harvard.
Right. After a gap year.
She's going to go work in the Gap for a year?
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I really thought a gap year was. When you said one of my daughters is doing a gap year, I'm like, really? Just working at the Gap, making some money for college?
Good experience.
Exactly. So anyway, I think you're right. And, you know, he's the time will come for a thorough assessment of his presidency, but I think that it's going to be a lot better than people, especially his critics, think. That when history looks back on the Obama presidency and the economic disaster that he pulled us back from. And I know Obamacare's got a lot of problems, but it has set in motion the idea that, you know, poor people are going to have insurance coverage and not just have to go to the emergency room every time they get a hangnail. So I, you know, I think on balance, we are going to miss that guy. So it's good.
I knew Trump wouldn't show. I saw it last year when he just stared. When they were making Trump jokes, he just stared. Absolutely no emotion on his face at all. And I go, he wouldn't subject himself to that.
Apparently his sons were there.
Were they?
His
I didn't
sons
know that.
Came, but he didn't show up. Well, Hillary Clinton didn't show up either. Kasich. I guess they're all out.
Or Ted Cruz.
Campaigning. Yeah, Ted Cruz.
Bernie Sanders was the only guy that was there.
Ted Cruz has got to make a stand. We were talking to the editorial board this morning. If Ted Cruz does not win tomorrow in Indiana, he's basically done. I mean, mathematically, probably not, but it's pretty serious.
All right, let's come back and discuss that further. Eric Zorn is here. Boy, is he feisty. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here. He's joining us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. You can jump in at 312-981-7200. Tomorrow, as it turns out, is an extremely important day if you're Ted Cruz or his running mate, Carly Fiorina. What do we have to look forward
How about
to tomorrow?
That? Yeah. Well, right now it looks like the polls in Indiana are looking poor for the Cruz-Fiorina ticket. It's something like a 14-point lead for Donald Trump. He's got, I think, 49% of the vote, something like that. And that is a really critical state because we're getting down to the last few primaries here. California's coming up June 7th. There's a lot of delegates at stake there. But if Cruz gets beaten in Indiana, it looks like Trump may be able to go to the convention with enough pledged delegates to take him over the top. Cruz fighting. He was on all the talk shows yesterday, Sunday morning talk shows, saying, you know, it's not over. It's not going to happen. It's not. He refused a very interesting conversation he had on Meet the Press where they were trying to get him to say that if he didn't get the nomination, if Donald Trump were the nominee, would he support him? And they tried like nine times, and nine times he refused to answer. He kept saying, I'm going to be the nominee.
That's a good way to avoid the question.
Yeah, it is. And it was one of those things where people were saying that this is just the kind of sort of double talk and refusal to be honest that typical politicians do all the time. And it's the kind of thing that Trump doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, Trump, he gives a straight answer. He gives different answers at different times, of course, but he doesn't shy away from just giving a blunt answer.
Right.
He's not afraid to offend or say the wrong thing. People find that very refreshing, even though obviously, he says the wrong thing quite a bit.
Although when he said he didn't know David Duke,
that was
a lie.
That was a little bit of a problem.
A little bit of a problem, but, you know, he
and I'm surprised he did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's easy to trace.
And it's easy to just say, I know. I don't know what he did. But to say, I don't even know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of Donald Trump's image is based on image rather than actual performance. So, but in any case, if this doesn't happen tomorrow, for I mean, if Trump wins, it's going to be a really,
it
really
becomes
hard.
Almost impossible.
Becomes almost impossible. And it looks like Hillary Clinton is going to close out Bernie Sanders, but the polling there is much closer.
Yeah,
I think it's 4 points last time I saw that.
Is it that close?
The polling in California that I've seen, of course, I mean, that's more than a month away, so it's hardly worth a lot. But Donald Trump is up by like 24 points in California.
Right, not
so,
even close.
So even if he loses to tomorrow. But this is setting up. Indiana is setting up kind of like Wisconsin set up for Cruz. Remember, Cruz really pasted Trump in Wisconsin because he had the support of the governor, Scott Walker up there, and it's Pence down in Indiana. Pence's endorsement of Cruz was not quite as full-throated as Walker's. He said something like, well, I really like and admire Donald Trump, and he said a lot of important things.
Reagan.
And yeah, and it says, but I'm going to be voting for Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And it was, and then he's traveling around a little bit with Cruz, but it was kind of lukewarm, and it left a lot of room for people to vote for Cruz. And this movement that was going on, the Anybody But Trump movement, that was the Republicans were trying to get going. And I think even maybe a week ago when we talked, they just announced that Cruz and Kasich, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, the other remaining Republican candidate, that they were going to form an alliance.
Right.
They were going to split up the remaining primaries. I guess there's Oregon and New Mexico is coming up, and those were going to be Kasich's. Well, that by the time we were done talking, that alliance fell apart.
Yeah.
That seems tough to do anyway. You know, like, I can't imagine Cruz going, okay, go ahead and take that.
But the interesting thing to me was that Kasich was the one who kind of blew it up. Kasich, who has won, what, one out of 40 primaries?
Yeah.
He's the one. People were saying, well, are you urging your supporters to vote for Cruz in Indiana, which is like the basic idea behind this cooperation? He said, no, they should vote for me if they want to. And
he's only won Ohio.
He won
far,
Ohio,
right?
his home state. He did pretty well last Tuesday, Super Tuesday 4, whatever they're calling it. He did pretty well there. He got second place, I think, in 3 of the 5 primaries. I'm trying to remember, but you know, he's getting some traction, but he's got almost no delegates. He's playing an extreme bank shot to try to get this
nomination. And he can't keep a deal.
There's that. Yeah, there's that.
but you know, they had to get together. There had to be some cooperation in the Republican ranks earlier on than what we've seen. And you know, one of the things that you know, I've heard other people say this, but I think it's really true, which is that one of the problems the Republican field had was that they were all kind of trying to be nice to Trump for a long time because they were all hoping that when Trump inevitably imploded, that all his support would then come to them. Remember, Cruz and Trump were like buddies for the first couple of debates. They were saying nice things about each other. And you know, in Cruz's brain was this thing twirling like, I'll just have to wait, and Donald's going to say something completely unacceptable.
Right.
All his supporters are going to go, well, now who do I go to? Well, that Ted Cruz has always been nice to him. I always liked him. So that was, I think that they were all kind of playing that game. They didn't want to really attack Trump. And so he was able to get more traction.
Go back a little bit to what we were talking about the pledge of support of the candidates. Once they're eliminated, like to say to Ted Cruz, okay, now you're out of it. Are you going to throw your support to Donald Trump? Why is that so important? And I know technically you go, because then all the people that were supporting him will then go, well, we have it from him himself, from Ted Cruz, to support Trump. But realistically, don't you respect the person a lot more who says, no, you know what? My politics and that man's politics are polar opposites. I don't support him. I'm sorry.
Well, Trump is a special case.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, generally what happens...
Say
these,
that again.
Well, but generally what happens in these primaries is that these politicians, they're fighting over various interpretations of your Republican or Democratic doctrine.
Yeah.
Kind of the way that I feel like Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are. They come at things differently, but in the end, they have so much more in common than they have, you know, with
different.
Each other than they do against the Republicans. So generally what happens in these things is that you fight bitterly during the primaries, and then at the end you say, well... Yes, I had my differences with you know, Mitt Romney, for instance, but he is much preferable to Barack Obama, and vice versa. You say that when Hillary Clinton supported Obama in 2008, you know, that was a bitter campaign as well. We've sort of forgotten how nasty that was in 2008, and how angry Hillary Clinton supporters were about Obama's rise and how Obama was taking the superdelegates and everything. But in the end, Hillary Clinton stood up and at the convention and had Obama nominated by acclaim and campaigned for him and made it clear that, you know, so that's what political parties do.
Right.
But what I'm saying about Trump being a special case is that, you know, he is someone who is not orthodox Republican in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of criticism about the stances that he's taken about over time, about abortion, about immigration, about trade, all kinds of issues that do not necessarily fit with the Republican platform, who the Republican Party is. And so there are a lot of people who are thinking that we can't support this guy. We can't come together after this convention. He has to lose because we have to get our party back. And that's the
good luck with getting the party back.
Exactly. But it could, could happen. People said that about the Democrats. Or was it 72 when McGovern? I was old enough to remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember. Mm-hmm. But, that McGovern got pasted in 70. Everyone thought the Democratic Party was just in complete disarray.
Right.
Well, they come back and 4 years later, Jimmy Carter's elected. So, parties do recover from this kind of thing. Yeah. This looks like a pretty serious wound to the Republicans.
I don't know if they can recover from this one.
But,
it might take some time, but we'll see what happens. Eric, thank you. I appreciate it.
Is that Steve Bertrand coming?
Yeah, Steve Bertrand just walked in.
He's going to tag
arena.
In for me.
Yep. He'll be in here in a minute.
Great to see you guys.
That's Eric Zorn. We'll be back in a little bit and find out what Steve has on the Wintrust business launch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, I think this counts as a copycat crime. Wendy says now she's going to sue Starbucks.
Wendy
just told me she's also going to sue Starbucks.
How many fluid ounces do you have in your beverage?
How many, Wendy?
You know what? I don't even care how many fluid ounces are in my bevy. What I care about is I went in there at 10-1 to just get a mocha frap, no whip.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
A mocha frappuccino with no whipped cream.
Oh, all right. I guess
I feel very trendy now that I can order it.
Mocha I don't speak Starbucks, so everything I hear about Starbucks, I just nod and go, is that coffee or something? I don't know what that is.
Well, the girl who was four people in front of me got something that looked really good, and mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, and I was afraid to ask her, what is that mm-hmm. that you're having? But I didn't. But anyway, so there is a huge line at 10-1. I guess the tail end of the lunch break, maybe.
Is 10-1 the odds of you getting your coffee on time? Is that what 10-1 means?
Yes. Those are the derby odds for this Saturday.
And so there were people behind me. They forgot to put my empty cup with my name on it.
Written incorrectly.
They got it right. So
they did?
I can't sue them for that.
You should sue them for that.
But she forgot to put my empty cup with the mocha frap, what is it? MF. Oh,
careful. There's your name.
Problem.
I was
nice to her, too.
Doesn't matter. They've got an agenda.
So I see my cup with my name on it, and everybody behind me is, their cups are bypassing me.
Right. You can't do that.
And I already paid for it, so I was about ready to go, you know what? Steve Bertrand is wrapping up the Wintrust business lunch. I got to go.
Yeah. Time is of the essence.
How much can I sue him for? A couple mil?
How much is that lady suing for?
So
$5 million?
Were they getting hot drinks and you get the cold drinks? Because sometimes, if they have different people working different sections, and sometimes you think you're getting bypassed, but they're, it's coming out of a different spot.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah?
All right.
You should, no, don't hold back.
Give them a little pass.
Sue them for $4 million.
They're having a rough day.
This woman's suing for $5 million.
She
is not going to get that.
Would this fit the phrase frivolous lawsuit? That's exactly what this is.
There's first no world problems.
Yes. I don't know, though. I mean, it seems to me that Subway had the same problem. They were advertising footlongs, and they weren't 12 inches.
We were talking about it up there, and the guy sued, and he won.
He did.
Yeah, but that one.
It's the same thing. It says that many ounces are supposed to be in the cup, Kim?
Well, it depends on how big you're getting. It's like 14, 16.
But what did she get? She wanted 24 ounces, and when she dumped out and measured the liquid, it was mostly ice. I am agreeing with her.
If you go into almost any restaurant, not just fast food restaurant, but any restaurant, they fill the cup up so much with ice.
See, and I'm the opposite, because when I go to Starbucks, I ask for extra ice because I feel they don't give me enough.
Oh, wow.
I agree with even McDonald's. I sometimes say extra ice.
Yeah, extra ice on my iced tea, always.
You are not going to be asked to testify in this lady's
No, I will not be. I will be an expert witness for Starbucks.
For Starbucks.
There was a time there's a pizza place in our area that I have never gone back to because we had a family party, and we ordered a bunch of 16-inch pizzas because we had 25 people at our house.
Yeah.
And people eat too much pizza,
sure.
First of all. No one has just one piece
right.
when it's the grid cut.
Right.
So we ordered I think 5 16-inch pizzas, and when it arrived, I'm like, this does not look like a 16-inch pizza. So, haha, I got out the old tape
measure.
Did
you measure it? Yeah.
And it was like one was 14 and a half, one was 15, and there was not one of the five pizzas that was 16 inches in diameter. So I called the pizza place. which is a bar too, so that's your first thing. But they had really good pizza.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I got to tell you, I ordered 5 16-inch pizzas, and I know this sounds crazy, but I measured them. Not one of them is 16 inches in diameter, and I have a bunch of people here. What are you going to do about it?
What did they do?
And he said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, I don't know, maybe send over an extra pizza.
That's a good answer.
And he said, yeah, you know, sometimes they shrink up. I said, no, this is BBB.
Wait, let me get this right. Pizzas shrink up? When do they, at what stage do they shrink up?
I don't think they shrink 3 inches.
He meant from the time they put it in the box to...
No. And to, when they're cooked.
Oh, when they cook, yeah, they make a little... Okay,
yeah. Yeah, but not 3 inches.
No.
And not one of them was 16 inches, and they didn't do anything. And he was really kind of a jerk about it. He's like, really, what do you want me to do?
Because you're accusing him of shrinkage.
Right. That's my problem, not your problem. He should have said that.
Well, they didn't do anything, so I have never gone back, ever.
That's the best answer. Don't keep going if they're
And I'm not saying their
you.
Name because maybe it was just a bad day and a bad dude working there. But
could have been.
I have never gone back, and they had really good pizza, but their loss.
All right. How about this, then? Couldn't you also sue almost anybody who makes food of any kind because...
I didn't try to sue them,
I know you didn't try to sue them, but... When you buy something in a package, take a look at how it really looks as opposed to how it looks on the package. You know what I mean? It's never as...
Your Big Mac doesn't look beautiful like that.
Not even close.
Your Wendy's double doesn't...
Not even close.
Dave's double.
Even stuff like a bowl of cereal. You know, if you get cereal with something in it, let's say you're getting Count Chocula and they've got those little chocolate marshmallows in it. Look at the version on the box and how many there are as opposed to pour yourself a bowl of it and put it right up next to the box. It's never as plentiful as they want you to believe it is, ever.
But that is someone's job, and since I am so food obsessed, I would like that job because it's called plating and the presentation.
Right.
And we've talked about this before. There are people whose jobs it is to speak on the radio properly. Someone whose job it is to make it look more enticing. So we've heard in the past that they use Elmer's glue
right.
in the bowl of cereal so the milk just looks right. so thick and beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
So it never really looks like what you're going
to
get.
They always present to you the best possible scenario, but put whatever food you've just purchased next to the picture of what it's supposed to look like on the box. Guess which one will look way better than the other.
I'm suing Starbucks again because my mocha frappuccino is like white on top. It's supposed to be a uniform color.
Right, and it isn't.
I guess they could shake it.
And the picture of you on the cup doesn't even look like you, the green lady with the hat. That doesn't look like you. Well, it does a little.
I wish my hair was that long.
It does a little.
That's a crown, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. She's the goddess of coffee. So how long does this lady's case, and I think she's a Chicagoan, Stacy Pincus is her name. She's the lady who's suing Starbucks for $5 million because of the amount of ice. How long
That's going to get thrown out right
in
away.
In seconds, right?
I would imagine.
Within seconds, the judge will just stare at everybody and go, really? That's it.
Do judges say really?
Really? That's what I would do if I was a judge. Huh? I would do that. I'm sorry, you're doing what for $5 million?
Now, what I said is maybe they'll just give her like a year's supply of Starbucks to shut her up, but you said they can't really do that because it starts a precedent.
Well, everybody then who went to Starbucks would find some little detail that wasn't quite accurate. Now, I know that the amount of liquid that you would get in an order matters. The Subway one is a bigger deal to me because if you're singing a song that says $5 foot long and a foot long is 12 inches and then you get your sandwich and it's 10 inches, that's a big difference.
How?
Well,
you're not getting the right amount of ounces that they're saying.
Well, yeah, I guess. But you can control the ice.
You can't tell them. They make it. You can't argue
can't
with
say
the barista.
I want less ice. You can't say, hey, when you do it this time, put in a third of the amount of ice you normally put in. You could do that.
I don't know, but somebody, 312, says ice drinks are formulated to dilute the stronger than normal base liquid. The recipe is best ratio for melt rate, final flavor results. Hate this entitled generation.
I don't want to blame it on a generation, do you? I have a hard time just blaming everybody of a generation.
Yeah, it's everyone. Mickey D's was sued over the quarter pounder and now have to add the phrase, before cooking.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. But don't we assume, with something like that, don't we assume that the food, based on cooking and what we know of the art of cooking, that it'll become less? We know that, don't we?
It's the finished product that we care about, but we know if you put a pizza in an oven or a hamburger on a grill, it's going to get smaller. We've all seen that happen.
Okay, but back to my pizza story. It's not going to shrink 3 inches.
No, that's a lot. That's a bunch.
I was really mad at them.
You should be.
Somebody says, my mom's friend was a professional photographer, took pictures for McDonald's years ago. They only had the most perfect buns. You've got nice buns.
That's nice of you.
They had to have the perfect amount of sesame seeds on it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they picked them and moved them so they looked pretty.
Without a doubt, to make it look picturesque. But seriously, go into any restaurant, order food, and then take a look at how it looks as opposed to the picture they're trying to sell you. It's so different.
And somebody said it would be cheaper for Starbucks to give this plaintiff 5 milliliters of fluid rather than a year of coffee. So just give her a little shot glass and go, here's your extra.
We're even.
Extra fluid ounces.
It's true. Your thoughts on this? 312-981-7200. We'll get to your calls and your texts in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy's suing Starbucks.
No,
everybody is.
I'm not, but there
everybody
is a woman.
Everybody wants their money.
And, you know, a lot of people are saying 24-ounce cup, how many ounces in it will vary, because if you're going to put ice, whether it be a little ice or a lot of ice, and you can ask for light ice, it only is going to hold 24 ounces.
So is the presumption when we go into a store and buy something that's advertised as a size, is the presumption that, like you just said, you're buying the cup, what's in there is up to our discretion, as opposed to what we, the consumer, like to believe, which is if it says 24 ounces, I want 24 ounces of juice or milk or soda pop or whatever it is, that's what I'm entitled to.
If you wear a size 10 pant,
yes,
and you go and get a size 6,
yes,
you can't sue them because it doesn't fit because you lied.
Right. That's true, I guess.
So
that's very true.
That's really what it comes down to. Hey, Scooter.
How you doing, Wendy and Bill?
Good. What's going on, Scooter?
I got one thing. I got to find out what attorney in their right mind is going to take this case.
Rich Lankoff.
Okay, good. And now, listen, the judge, instead of throwing out a case, you should tell this lawyer you can find him for like a year of practice or something stupid.
Wasting everybody's time?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Or unless you got Jackie from Seinfeld or
Jackie Charles,
Paul, you know?
Yeah.
Right. You know,
how do you even...
I'm a lawyer. You walk in a lawyer's office and tell me you want to sue him for this, that... The guy's either working out of his van or the back room of a laundromat.
That's right, because when you're bringing this case forward, doesn't like a regular attorney or someone go, you're not, don't waste anybody's time here.
Yeah.
Right. Usually a lawyer is not going to take the case unless he's going to win. So, I mean, maybe this guy just got out of practice, maybe passed the bar exam at a bar.
Possibly. Thank you, Scooter. Have a great day.
If that were the case, I should be an attorney.
Yes.
I've passed the bar at the
bar.
Yes. And in conclusion, Scott.
Oh, hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I can relate to something similar to that. I'm a local actor, and I was shooting a commercial. I won't mention the company, but I was shooting a company for a paint company, and it was just a 30-second local. Anyway, when we were in pre-production, we talked about the brand, yada, yada. When they did a close-up of the paint, you know, the can itself, it was 3 inches under the label. So when you open up the can of paint, there was 3 inches of nothing there. And this gallon, I mean, what I'm trying to say, there was, you know, they're advertising a gallon of paint for $38 a gallon. So it's not cheap. And the director, who is very anal, he said, we can't do that. What are you gonna? And the client was there, and they had add water to it, which I thought was... So my point about that was, this was, you know, if you're paying $38 for a gallon of paint, usually a gallon of paint is going to get 300 square foot per gallon.
Yeah.
And it was just so obvious, you know, directors have a keen eye for that, and I do a little directing myself, but you could literally see, and the director said, stop, hold, cut. So the client was really upset.
But even adding water, though, Scott, if you're selling it as a gallon of paint, you're not saying a gallon of paint and a little bit of water, too. You're still saying
exactly.
It's, a, you know?
Yeah, but you're just putting the water in, so in the commercial, it looked full. Yeah.
Right, but the point of the matter was, the client, instead of just confessing it, you know, they're BSing and saying, well, no. And like the director said, no, I'm not going to put my name on this commercial, because it literally, when the close-up, you know, the commercial, I had to open up and say, oh, this is such a great brand of paint. And then there was, like I said, 3 inches. So
yeah,
then they just add
bad.
Water. Well, it certainly does. Especially, you know, it was a acrylic
it was a couple summers ago, so it was for this company, they were advertising, you know, sales, mm-hmm. but $38 a gallon isn't that cheap.
Mm-mm.
And so there was no lawsuit or anything, but they had to literally fill that to the top, put it on a shaker, had to go to a store, put it on a shaker, and then when I did the commercial, so that, I mean, again, there's a lawsuit involved, but and even, you know, that situation there, people would have caught that. The average consumer watching TV would have caught that.
Yeah, I would think. Wow. Well, thank you, Scott.
Thank you. I've opened up gallons of paint because I love to paint, and yeah. it's been pretty full.
More times than not.
If it wasn't, I would right. never buy that brand again.
Right.
Thank you so much, Scott. There was something else. Culver's double cheeseburger looks delicious on TV. I had to try it. It wasn't so. I think that's the best burger ever.
Oh.
It never looks like the picture.
The way it tastes, though, is it's up to you and your taste buds. It's
right,
the
it's
look
the way
of it
looks.
That you could go, hey, here's a picture of what you're advertising, not necessarily Culver's with the burger, but with anything. Here's the product you're selling me, and I've put the actual product right next to the picture. The difference is amazing.
You know what was the only thing that looked just like the picture? The Halloween Whopper that we got. Honest to God, it looked with the black bun,
yeah.
and it really looked...
Oh, all right. So sometimes it works, I guess.
And you get pretty excited when you order something. One of my kids had a quesalupa, and when he bit it, the cheese kind of melted, and there was like this string of melted cheese,
yeah.
and my other son said... That is just like the commercial.
Yeah, how about
but
that?
But very rarely is it just
nowhere
like
near
it.
As often as yeah. it should. Nope.
I'm suing.
You got to sue somebody. Starbucks, look out. I bet they're shaking. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then we have a lot more show coming your way next. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy here on 720 WGN, and we were talking about these lawsuits over food and such. And someone texted us wanting to know why the bags of potato chips are half full. Have you noticed that?
That is so true. Not just potato chips, but a lot of candies, if you buy them in a bag. I won't name names, but if you buy a good-sized bag of candy,
M&Ms.
It's possible.
Skittles.
Could be.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Twizzlers has no air.
Is that right?
Twizzlers has pretty much the cellophane is right around the vines.
That's the way
vines.
It should be.
But there is always this little buffer zone.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if you go to Sam's Club and you get the big potato chips and then you're making your kids lunch and you take a baggie and put chips in the baggie, I blow air into the baggie.
Do you?
Zip it up. And then there's like a cushion.
So the chips don't break.
Right.
Kind of, yeah.
So that's what they're saying about potato chips. Why are empty potato chip bags always half empty?
Think about this, though. Let's say you're a major.
I read that wrong.
Let's say you're a major potato chip company, and you just take out an ounce or 2 ounces out of every bag. Think about how quickly that adds up over the course of a month or a year, and that's all savings in your pocket. You're making more product.
Profit Central.
Yeah.
From mentalfloss.com. I love this website. Why are potato chip bags always half empty? I read it as why are empty potato chip bags always
right.
half empty?
I noticed that. I wasn't going to say anything.
As disappointing as it can be to tear into a bag of chips to find empty air where your afternoon snack should be, that extra space in the package is there for a reason. It's called slack fill.
Because of the guy who doesn't fill the bag up all the way? Is it slacker? Is that why? Because
it
is.
And his name is Phil. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Slack, F-I-L-L, is an intentional choice by snack makers who want to protect their delicate products from the damage of rough handling during shipping process. I get that. But then make the bag bigger. When products
There's
are stacked,
the answer.
Yeah. When products are stacked atop one another, crammed into tight spaces, or simply jostled around in the back of a delivery truck, slack fill... serves as an, he's the driver too,
mm-hmm.
I think. Slack fill serves as an air cushion that prevents potato chips from becoming potato crumbs. It is necessary.
A little bit of it is necessary, but it's nowhere near, not that long ago when we were younger, it seemed like when you got a bag of something, candy or potato chips or whatever, it wasn't filled to the top, but almost.
It was 3/4 full.
Easily.
Now it's 1/4.
Right. Right.
It's a joke when you get those little fun-sized chips of Cheetos or whatever to put in a lunch.
There's nothing in there.
There's like 8.
I know.
It's really a joke. Not just ordinary air puffing up those potato chip bags either, Bill. It's nitrogen.
Oh, it is?
So it will explode.
It's flammable. Be careful where you open it.
Oxygen can cause the potatoes to spoil and the oil to go rancid. That's funny, because that's exactly how I want my chips.
A little bit on the rancid side?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the humidity found in ambient air makes the chips go soggy. Instead, packages are filled with nitrogen gas to help the snacks stay fresh. With a trained panel of tasters confirmed in a 1994 food science study, nitrogen flushing isn't harmful in any way. The fact that they're saying it like that makes
right.
me think it is.
Yeah.
Since about 78% of the air we breathe is composed of nitrogen already. But not in, like, that super concentrated dose.
No. No, that's a lot more.
However, that doesn't excuse the sheer proportion of space that gas occupies in a bag that's supposed to be filled with food. Although, this is very interesting to me. Although the Federal Fair Packaging and Labeling Act, passed in 1966, required manufacturers to clearly indicate the net weight of their product's contents mm-hmm. to prevent customers from being duped by huge-seeming containers on the shelves. New and improved potato chips, now with 50% more air. The regulations are rarely enforced. Well, that's not right.
You got to enforce them. It's the law. All right. Let's say all this is true with potato chips. Explain beer to me, because as I told you in the past, for years and years and years, if you got a bottle of beer or a can of beer, that meant you got 12 ounces of liquid. You got 12 ounces of beer if you were buying a bottle or a can. But now if you look, it's 11.5 ounces. And I know you go, well, that's only a half an ounce of beer. Is that big of a deal? But again, over time,
the price
didn't
go down for a six-pack.
No, the price did not go down. As a matter of fact, it keeps going up. So if you're a beer company and you're just shortchanging everybody, even just a half an ounce with every bottle or can, what does that do to your profit margin at the end of the year? You got all that extra product.
You should do an investigative report thing.
I might. I don't know who would buy it, but I might do one.
But what? How can they do that?
Well, I guess their argument is we're not deceiving anybody. It clearly says on the bottle 11.5 ounces, but I've noticed it more and more and more that more beer companies are turning to that as the model. Even though the bottle's the same size, it's similar to what happened years ago. I've told you this. Nobody believes me, but it's true. With cereal, the size of your cereal box is just as high as it ever was. But look at the depth of your cereal box. It's half of what it used to be. So in your mind, you're going, I'm getting the same box of cereal because it's the same exact height. It fits in your, you know, whatever your cereal cabinet looks like. It fits in there the exact same, except it's half as wide as it used to be. You're getting about half the product you got a couple of years ago.
I understand that to be true. I never disputed that with you saying
that. Oh, it's so true.
Because we keep all our cereal boxes on top of the fridge.
Yeah.
And you can fit more boxes now.
Yeah.
Height-wise, they're the same, and maybe even width-wise, but the thickness of the box is it's like an inch.
Right.
God, remember your little... I know we were smaller, so grabbing a cereal box, it would appear bigger in your small hand.
It took... My brother and I had to... If we wanted a box of cereal, the two of us together would have to go into the cabinet.
You guys were tiny.
We were very small.
God.
We were almost elf-like, but it would take at least two of us. Sometimes a neighbor kid would have to come over. It took three of us... to get out a big box of Kaboom. Not anymore. It's like a fortune cookie now.
I do remember being where it was like a stretch to get your hand right. around the side of the box, and now it's like you could grab two boxes.
Yeah, easily.
That's not right, Bill.
Come on, cereal companies.
All right, this problem spans bigger. Clay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What's your beef?
My beef says if you open a bottle of Vitamins or aspirin or whatever the case may be, it's three quarters full of cotton.
All right, that's true.
You do get a lot. Yeah, you do get, it's a more cotton per medication ratio.
Yeah, because remember the little St. Joseph's baby aspirin, which were so good. I hated that they were so good, and that was bad because kids would just want, I'm sick, Mom. Can I have one?
Right, they were like candy.
Right, right.
And there was just like a... I don't know what it's called. It'd be like a little tab at the top,
mm-hmm.
and there might be one tiny little piece of cotton.
Maybe.
But now, you're right. It's like half the bottle is cotton. I know things settle when they're shipping, but that cotton is bigger than it's ever been.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's crazy. I mean, you're spending, you know, $10, $12 a bottle for some of this product, you know, and all you're paying for is cotton.
It's not right. And that's what gives you the headache. Then you need more aspirin.
You got that right. Hey, it's great to talk to you two guys. Take
Thank
care.
You, Clay. Take care. Have
Thank
a good day.
Thank you, Clay. See, that's why I like working with you. I never have a headache when I work with you.
Oh.
Well,
that's
just
nice
today.
Just today only.
Might be the coffee. Hi, Lenny.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're frustrated, Lenny. I'm not gonna pull any punches on you.
Me too.
Frustrated consumers. Pardon me?
Have you bought ice cream lately?
All the time.
It's not a half gallon anymore.
No, it is not.
What do you mean?
They've done the same thing. They've shaved just
same
a little
thing.
Bit out of it.
Smaller. Right.
But it says it, right?
No, it doesn't say half gallon anymore.
If you look, I mean, they have to be honest and tell you how much is in there, but you're so used to it being a half a gallon, like with a bottle of beer. You go, oh, it's 12 ounces. It's always been 12 ounces. It's not anymore. Some of them still are, but not all of them.
I've got to look, and I'm going to check every label when I get home.
Oh, everything's going up, and you get less and less.
And that's just it. They're, you know, removing part of the product and raising the price. That doesn't seem fair.
Right. It's not. Thank you, Lenny.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. This is just getting crazy. We are totally being duped.
We're being duped.
Hi, Bob. We're being duped.
We are being duped.
And we're not going to take it anymore, are we, Bob? We're done.
Oh, we're done with that.
All right, good.
Remember, like, way back in the day, Breeze laundry detergent?
Yeah.
And they put a whole towel in the box, like maybe half a box of detergent, and there'd be, like, a full-size towel in it.
You could only get it in boxes of Breeze.
Right. That was Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton giving you that, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a whole beach towel in your box of Breeze.
It was a hand towel.
I don't think so, was it?
No, it was a big towel. I remember my mom bought them, and I thought, even as a kid, like, why is she buying this towel?
Right.
You need detergent.
Right. I don't know how old you are, Bob, but there was some company that when you got any of their products, you got a Wizard of Oz puppet inside of it. Like a full-on Wizard of Oz puppet.
I remember that. They would give you pogo puppets, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was Lever Brothers with the pogo puppets. I don't remember who did Wizard of Oz. But think about that. Think about all that extra space to put an entire puppet in the box.
I can't remember that.
I had all of those.
Boy, your parents went to the good stores.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I also saw that Cracker Jack is now not going to put prizes in the box.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, because of a choking hazard.
Well, they're going to give you a code, and you go online.
Yeah,
and
that's no fun.
For nothing. I'm all kidding. I mean, how are we going to get our tattoos? But
and that's a Chicago company and a Chicago tradition. I believe it's because of choking hazards. And I got to tell you, if your kid's stupid enough to eat the prize, go for the peanuts.
You have to explain to the kid. It's the popcorn and the peanuts. Don't eat the plastic stuff.
Right.
Yeah, if they want to give us a prize in that, put some peanuts in the thing.
Thank you, Bob. It was nice walking down memory lane with you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bob. Well, all right,
it wasn't a beach towel.
I'm almost positive it was a full-on beach towel.
How much Breeze detergent did you get in there?
I don't know, because our clothes were always dirty, but we had plenty of beach towels. Like, everywhere we'd look, we're like, we got piles of beach towels.
Did they have yellow flowers on
them?
Yeah,
some of them did.
I do remember that.
Yeah, a lot of them did. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more of your thoughts. We're being duped as consumers, and we're very, very angry. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We've been duped, Bill.
Over and over and over again. They keep making our products smaller and charging us more, which is nice of them.
I know it's inflation, okay? And, you know, when the gas was up to, what, $4 and then some a gallon?
Yeah.
That came down.
Close to $5.
Which I'm surprised it's in the twos now.
Mm-hmm.
And milk kind of came down. How
a
come some
bit.
Of these other things don't
know.
Come down?
I don't know. Those Wizard of Oz puppets, by the way, were in Procter & Gamble products in 1965 and 1966. Those were the ones. And I showed you a picture, and you had some, didn't you?
I totally remember having these puppets. They had a rubberized head and then just a really
vinyl
cheap
body.
Vinyl, like almost a baggie.
It would tear within moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know those were Wizard of Oz.
Oh, you didn't?
I guess now that I'm looking at them.
You didn't know the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion were Wizard of Oz?
I didn't make the connection.
Oh.
I really didn't.
They're just friends who look like they're from different cultures. That's all.
I think I just had the lion.
Oh.
I didn't think I had all of them. And you got the little castle that came with it.
Yeah, you could send away for this castle. And again, just like our topic, when they showed you this on the bottom, you know, they would show you on the bottom of, like, it'd be various kinds of soap products from Procter & Gamble. This castle looked phenomenal. I dreamt and dreamt and dreamt. I couldn't wait to get the castle. And then it comes in. It's a cheap piece of cardboard with a castle imprinted on it.
So it's just like a fold-up cardboard
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to take it anymore, but that means we can't buy anything ever again.
I know.
Casey, what's small in your world? And I didn't mean that offensively.
Wow. Well, thanks for clarifying.
Wow.
Yeah, there's many things. When you go to buy like a little pint of milk at the donut shop or something,
yeah.
it's not a 16-ounce pint. It's down to 14 ounces. The new bottles of Gatorade are now 28 ounces, not 32. The bottles of Miracle Whip and mayonnaise, they're not 32 ounces, not a quart. They're down to 30 ounces.
And again, it's just an ounce here and there, but it adds up, you know?
Sure. Right, absolutely.
They make a lot more money. We're not even thinking about it because we see a similar size container and go, well, for years and years and years, it's been 32 ounces. They wouldn't jip me for 3 ounces, but they do.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm appalled.
You should be appalled.
I'm boycotting everything and suing everyone.
How about that, Casey? Look what you've done.
Yeah, I just saw the Gatorade yesterday, and it really surprised me. It took me by surprise. 28, not 32.
And it just says G on it now, as in, G, I'm getting ripped off. Where's my Gatorade?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Thank you, Casey. We appreciate you sharing. I don't know what to do. Mary Jane.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys? I love listening to you.
Thanks, Mary Jane.
Listen, they do the same thing with canned goods. At holiday time, I make pumpkin cookies, and a can of pumpkin is not 16 ounces, it's 14 ounces.
What's with that?
So you need check all the canned goods. They're less in the can, but they raise the prices. So
they
can't do that. You don't get 2 cups out of it anymore.
Oh. So that messes up if you're following a recipe. That screws up your recipe, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yes, it sure does. Uh-huh.
All right. I don't like it. Also, the paper towel rolls, you have to get like the giant roll or else, honest to God, you turn that thing around 4 times and you're out of paper towel. Same thing with the toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Mary Jane.
Take care.
As well.
She didn't sound that angry. I thought Mary Jane would be a lot angrier for some reason. It's good. She's tempering it better than you and I are.
We have to talk to somebody here because this is how bad it's gotten. Hi, Grace.
Hi there. Yeah, I know it's kind of scary. Years ago, I got a bottle of medicine prescription, so it's counted out, and I found a half of a pill in there. So I thought, well, the other half has got to be in there. Well, it wasn't, so I counted all the pills and discovered they were 3 short.
What?
Oh, yeah.
And you're paying for that, and it's a pretty penny. Not that pretty.
Well, it was a buck and a half a pill at the time.
Yeah.
So I called the pharmacist, and they apologized and said, well, if you come in, you know, give them back. So ever since then, I have been counting my prescription pills. And
I don't blame you.
Every once in a while, you know, I'll find one short or something like that. Nowadays, I do get them like 15 cents a pill or...
It's a little more manageable.
Yeah, so I don't make that much of a fuss, but I still count them every time I get the bottle.
But that's crazy. That shouldn't be part of your job to count every pill that they sell you. That's awful.
And can I tell you something, Grace? There was one time, my kids have ADHD, so we keep our drugstore very busy with several pills once a month. And there was one time I picked some up, and the name was right, and the name of the pill was right, and I looked at it, and it was a different color. And I said, well, sometimes generic, they have a change of the thing. They gave me the wrong thing.
They did.
And I brought it back, and, you know, the whole thing is they can't return it because they don't know if you've tampered with it. But I said, I'm not tampering with it, although you could have killed one of my kids.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Mr. Gower.
Yeah, that is a pharmacist has a really big responsibility.
Yep.
I know. I didn't know whether they counted by hand or whether they had a machine or what they did. But
they count by hand. I see them with a little like popsicle stick kind of thing.
Yeah.
The pharmacists do that?
Yeah,
I mentioned to them one time I called, please be sure you count them to be sure they're right. He said, oh, yes, we have it notified on your card there. Please check.
You got a reputation. Good. You should.
Yes.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Grace.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
That's a public service announcement, because seriously, had I not noticed, I mean, I wasn't really paying attention.
It could have been a disaster.
I know.
That's awful.
So just pay attention and don't buy anything and sue everyone.
Right.
That's what we're
doing. That's solid advice.
Thank you.
That's very solid advice. Wow.
And they were flowers on the towels and breeze because I guess Dolly Parton, somebody said she used to pronounce it zinnias.
Right.
Instead of zinnias.
Right.
They're zinnias.
Right. And it was her and Porter Wagner,
yes.
Right? For years.
You can't buy them.
You can only get them in boxes of breeze.
Right. Yeah, we're 75.
Right.
You really had those towels?
Yeah, we had stacks of them. And I remember them being...
Did they fit in the box? They didn't fit in the box.
Yeah, you got them in the box. They were in the box with like breeze all over them. Really
powder.
Clean. Yeah, the powder.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't...
Yeah, we had them when I was a kid. You didn't have any?
Well, there's a washcloth.
Nah, who has time for that? I got a beach towel.
There's no way they got a beach towel into a little box of breeze. What,
it's
was the
miracle.
Box the size of your house?
Yeah.
Dolly was very good at getting big things in small containers.
Oh, boy.
That's the reason we had a station wagon when I was a kid.
For Dolly?
Yeah, no. It was for the towel.
It was a bath towel. It couldn't have been a beach towel, Bill.
Maybe I was smaller. I don't remember.
You
My childhood
were.
Is foggy. I might have been smaller as a child. I don't know. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Honored that you're listening. We're at 312-981-7200. Give us a call or a text.
Wow, big accolades there.
I'm honored that people are listening. We know you have a lot of choices when you fly. Thank you for flying us.
Come fly me.
Here's some help for people. You know, Mother's Day is Sunday. It's 6 days until Mother's Day. And I know there are people out there who still have not purchased a gift for their moms.
Is it wrong that I'm giving hints?
No, I think that's great. Are you doing that, really? I think that's very helpful.
My oldest son, Michael, asked me, what are those red and yellow flowers that are out in front of the house that just came up? And I said, those are tulips. Those are my favorite flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell them at Trader Joe's for really cheap, like $4.99, and Mother's Day's coming. He goes, well, what's the point of getting you something when you know what it is? And I was letting him off the hook for $4.99.
That's a pretty good price, and you're getting what you want. It makes their life easier. They don't have to guess.
Right.
They know exactly what to get you.
That was the first time I ever did that for a Mother's Day gift.
Is it going to work? Is he going to go with
we'll
those?
We'll see.
I hope you get them. That would be...
I just
really,
thought that would be make him feel good. They're only $4.99.
Right. Not expensive.
Then Jim doesn't have to do the, you know, Mother's Day gifts like he would purchase them and say, oh, this is from the boys.
Right. I hope that works out.
I'll let
you
know.
I think that's ideal. Well, they've put together over at Huffington Post a very helpful guide of things that I have to be honest. I've gone through this. I don't think most moms would want these, but maybe I'm wrong.
All right. I may email these to my boys, too. So
all right.
Let's go over them.
Would you like, Wendy, here's number one on their list. And this is expensive. This cost $140.
Ooh.
So that's a little pricey. But here's what you get. You get a mermaid fishtail for your mom to wear.
Oh, my God. I have been dying for
Wouldn't
one.
Wouldn't you like to have that? You could walk around in a
you
mermaid
fishtail. You can't
walk
around.
Well, you could, like, slink around in it. Do you slink around at all? I don't know if I've ever seen you slink around.
Not intentionally.
Your mom won't have to. Here's what it says. This is a good selling point. Your mom won't have to fish for compliments.
Oh, God.
When she shows up at the pool in a mermaid fishtail.
Can I tell you why I'd like that?
Why?
I mean, just... Because
you'd have privacy. Nobody would bother you for a long time.
First of all, it just would be fun to swim like that. I mean, didn't you like wearing those flippers when you were a kid?
I did, sure.
I think I would like to try it once, but it's not worth the hundred and some dollars to try it once in a pool.
$140.
No, that's too much.
It comes complete with flippers. Walking around is difficult, it says. But,
well, yeah, mermaids don't walk.
But if you put your mom, here's what it says. This isn't my words. It's theirs. But if you put your mom on a rock near an ocean, she will look fine.
Okay, that's kind of kinky and weird. You're getting your mom
right.
A mermaid outfit.
Yeah, I don't know how practical these are.
What about, and then will there be a merman outfit for dad for Father's Day?
It doesn't say that. Whenever there's a gift like this, and I already told you this one costs $140, I always say to myself, what if it were $20 less? What if it were $50 less? What if it were $100 less? What if it was $140? I wouldn't get this when my mom was still with us. I wouldn't get this for my mom for free if this was an option.
If it was $20 and my mom was still alive, I'd get it for her. Because then she'd go, what the heck is this?
Right.
It'd be worth the $20 just to have her laugh.
That's true. That's true. What about this? Would your average mom want this? It's called the Otto the Otter tape dispenser. And it's shaped like an otter
its
back. And then the roll of tape goes in the middle with the otter's
belly.
No, he's like laying on his back.
Yeah, and the tape is where his belly would be.
Right.
Because that's how they crack open little shells. I would like that.
All right, I guess that's not a bad gift.
How much is it?
$14.99.
All right, I'll forward that to Dylan.
Your mom has suffered with a boring looking tape dispenser long enough. If you really care about her, I like when they add pressure like that.
A tape dispenser matters.
This will make her realize I care about her, I guess. Get your mom a tape dispenser that's shaped like an otter from alwaysfit.com. And again, the miracle low price of just $14.99.
There's no otter tape dispenser I'd rather have. It is really cute.
As tape dispensers go.
But I wouldn't use it. I don't like cutesy little things like that in my kitchen.
Right.
I like streamlined, modern looking things.
All right. Well, knowing this, you're going to hate the next two.
Okay.
The creepy clown purse, which is a... I don't speak purse that much, but what's the purse you just kind of throw over your shoulder and carry around, and then most of the purse goes, kind of hangs off your side? What is that called, a purse? I don't know what that would be called.
Like a shoulder bag?
Shoulder bag.
You hang it over your shoulder. It's not a satchel where there's short handles.
Right. Well, this particular shoulder bag or purse has the face of a very creepy clown where the purse is.
Why?
That's what it looks like.
Oh, God, who would wear... It's a sad clown.
It's a sad clown.
There's a tear coming there. Either he's murdered someone or he's sad.
I'm going to assume because it's a clown, the former. Aren't you? That clown just came from a killing.
Are we putting this on our Facebook page, this link?
Yeah, let's do that. This will be on our Facebook page sometime today, very soon. Kevin's
by the
busy.
End of the month.
Kevin's a very busy man. All right, I know, again, here's one I know you're not going to like because you don't like cutesy things in your house. Or you just said your kitchen, though.
I don't like cutesy things. You know me.
This is a tissue holder that looks like a cat, and then the tissue comes out of its nether regions. You just pull the tissue out. I'm not sure why. Is there a reason why that would be?
Well, it's either that or his mouth. There's no other.
Right, I guess so. But even that's a more pleasant option.
Can I see the picture?
Yeah, but you're not going to like it. Look.
Oh, that is so stupid.
That's sick. That's not right.
Who likes that? A cat hater or a cat lover?
Well, I don't. I won't say I hate cats. But
I don't hate cats. I had one, Declan. That's it. My only cat. But I don't love that or hate it. I think it's stupid.
So you're a cat lover. I'm a cat non-lover. Neither one of us are thrilled by the sight of this. If your mom is a cat lady, it says, she will be sure to love this tissue dispenser where the Kleenex comes out of the cat's behind. She will.
You should write for Hallmark.
These are not my words. These are the words. This is from the What on Earth catalog. It retails for the miracle low price of just $29.95.
Oh, that is a rip off.
This is one of those gifts that if you gave it to your mom, it would be featured prominently for a day, maybe two.
It would never be featured prominently.
Never?
Are you kidding?
Never? Yeah, this is not pleasant.
That would go right in the, junk pile.
This would scare cats. If a cat saw this, a cat would go, well, I don't know what happened to that poor guy, but I'm next. I'm not hanging around here. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more gifts that you need to get for your mom. She'll love you for it. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb?
Sunday, right?
Sunday is Mother's Day. No excuses. Get your mom something nice. Spend the money. Come on. She loves you. You love her.
Get her a Pink Floyd album.
I think a lot of moms would want that. I think your average mom would want a Pink Floyd album.
Why don't you record, listeners, you can record yourself singing Mother from Pink Floyd and put it on cassette and give it to your mom.
Perfect gift.
She will love you.
Everybody would love that gift. This is cruel. I'll tell you what this one is, but I'm going to warn you right now. I think it's cruel. So it's a device called Nexsee, NEXSEY. They're available at Nexsee.com, and they're only $19.99, Wendy. Not even $20 for a Nexsee.
But wait, there's more.
Here's what it is. You tell me if you think this is cruel or not, because I kind of do.
It says, although a lot of moms worry about the turkey neck look that comes with getting older, plastic surgery is far too expensive. And for those people, there is the Nexi. It's a medical tape product that tightens the neckline by pulling back on the loose flesh that dangles around the neck. So what you're doing is you're taking this piece of tape and you're pulling your neck tight, and then you're kind of binding the back of your neck. Is that something you want to do to your mom?
No, that's why you get the Genucel. They have that L'Essence neck treatment because you don't want to take tape from your Otter tape dispenser and pull your neck taut.
No. No.
The Nexi?
Yeah, N-E-X-S-E-Y. And again, the price is right. It's just $19.99, but even if you gave that to your mom, like, wouldn't your mom just stare at you and go,
yes.
What? I know that there's a little excess skin there, but I'm not going to tape the back of my neck.
It only works best for about 4 to 6 hours, although the tape can last for up to 8 hours.
Yeah.
What is this?
I don't know.
Caution, if you are in extremely humid conditions or tend to perspire heavily, the tape may not be as effective or stick as well. For best results, the neck should be completely dry, oil-free, and residue-free before applying Nexi.
Well, obviously.
All those disclaimers.
Right. This is ridiculous.
Why do they stop at the neck? Why don't they have a version? Why don't they have face C for your mom's face if your mom's face is a little on the wrinkled
side?
What
about the butt C?
Butt C. Where would you put the tape with that,
That's my sister's name.
It is? Oh, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh, this is unreal. Yeah, I'm intrigued by this.
That's not a good gift. Don't get that for your mom. This gift, Wendy, I wish I knew existed before. Well, I don't usually give you a Mother's Day present, but if I was going to get you one, this is what I would get you. The X-Files prayer candles.
Oh, come on.
So you get very religious-looking candles, but with the likeness of the two stars of the X-Files on them, made out to look almost as though Skulder and Mully were saints, almost.
Skulder and Mully?
Yeah.
Skulder.
Yeah. I don't think this is a good gift.
Scully.
Scully and Mulder.
That's terrible.
My neck is pulled too tight. I can't think properly.
Did you watch the video for this Nexi?
Yeah.
We have to put this link up.
It looks cruel, doesn't it?
This is terrible.
It looks awfully cruel to do to a mom, to somebody who brought you into the world.
Oh, it's on our Facebook page already. Look at that. Kevin's really quick.
He's fast.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd pray for other than I hope X-Files comes back.
I don't know.
They only did 6 short episodes.
Right. These are $26 for the pair. What better way to let your mom know that you care about her than by giving her prayer candles dedicated not to religious figures, but to the stars of the X-Files, a show that people, well, here's how they tie it in, a show that people watched religiously back in the 1990s. All right, so they did tie it in.
Okay, but the X-Files people, the fans,
yeah,
are much smarter than that and would never buy that.
Although it is, I mean, of all the ones we've mentioned, this is like the craziest one that if I had to have one, if somebody goes, you get one of these for free, that would be the one I'd take.
No, I'm getting the Nexi.
You want
God, she is pulling that tape so tight. There's a giant, I'm sorry to say, but it looks like a B-U-T-T crack on the back of her neck.
Yeah.
She has pulled.
That's how tight you can pull it.
I'm going to put tape just on the back of my head.
See how that looks.
The whole back of my body will be like just tape.
You'll get a lot of attention. See how that looks. Is this a good gift for your mom? Penguin pajamas.
Yeah, that's cute.
Great thing about getting your mom penguin pajamas for Mother's Day is that she will always look dressed up no matter what time it is.
No, because it's like a tuxedo.
It looks like a tuxedo. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a penguin.
And it looks like a Halloween costume. It doesn't look like pajamas because it does have a penguin head.
Who put this list together?
People who don't like their moms.
I guess.
Everybody involved in this does not like their moms. Would you get your mom this? Now, this sounds dirty, Wendy, but it is not. It's the Albert Einstein cornhole set. So what you get is... That's the game where you throw the bags in the holes, right?
Bags.
So, yeah.
I refuse to call it cornhole.
And puffiness. So you get two of them, and they look like Albert Einstein, because what mom isn't a fan of Albert Einstein?
Can I just say something? They have a hole in the center of his head. Wouldn't it be better to put it in the mouth?
Right.
I know you'd have to put him upside down, but it just seems weird to see Einstein with a giant hole in his head.
Right. Yeah, that's a little disconcerting.
This list is terrible.
There's not a single thing on here I would have gotten my mom. Nothing.
We have to get a legitimate list for people who are last-minute shoppers for tomorrow or later in the week.
I know.
Because this is terrible.
Do I have time for one
yes.
more? All right. I'm trying to redeem myself.
I love
myself.
These, though.
I'm trying to find one. I'm just trying to find one that somebody out there who wants to get a gift for their mom could buy into. Calamity Wear. It says, if that morning cup of coffee gets your mom agitated, why not amp things up even more by having her sip that Java in a cup decorated with all sorts of horrendous disasters? So on one cup, you have a city being attacked by UFOs. In another one, you have a family being attacked by Bigfoot. In another one, you have people being attacked by robots.
None of these are for moms.
No.
They're for your weird friend right. who lives across
right.
the way.
Right. It's for that loner guy you only see every once in a while.
Yeah.
These are not gifts for your mom. There was not... All right. I didn't even get to all of these. There's legitimately 30 on this list, and there's not a single one that I would get to my mom. You know, if my mom were still around, she wouldn't get one of these.
Not even the Nexi?
Maybe the Nexi.
Here, Mom, you're starting to look like a turkey. Here's the Nexi.
My mom's got a greasy neck.
Oh, she's out. She can't have it, Steve.
My mom lives in a humid area.
Right. All right, we'll do the news. Steve will give you the news, and then we have more show for you. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, and WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy, and it's a lovely sunny Monday. It's still kind of nippy out there, though. I think summer will come by July.
Well, it's supposed to, and I know anything can change, but they're saying that by the weekend, somewhere in the 70s, so let's hope so.
We already had that. I think we had our summer.
Was it over already?
That's too bad. It was beautiful.
That one day it got to 80.
Yeah, I remember.
All right, there's something in the news. Everybody, not everybody, I shouldn't say that, and I will rephrase that. A lot of people are mad at Target because they're saying, you know, anyone can use any bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many people that have signed this petition to say, I'm not going to Target
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Right.
There's another store in the news that people are complaining about. And now I've just decided that people troll the internet just to be contrarians.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Because
all right.
I can't believe in 2016 this is an issue for some people.
What is it?
All right. On April 29th, just a few days ago,
yeah.
Old Navy tweeted an ad. Because they have their own tweeter people, as Arianna Huffington calls it.
Mm-hmm.
And they work with the Twitter accounts. And they tweeted an ad featuring a long-haired, cute white guy
mm-hmm.
with a beautiful black woman and a black child.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Old Navy official, this is what their tweet said with that picture. Oh, happy day. Our thank you event is finally here. Take 30% off your entire purchase. And then there's a link to go to Old Navy to go shopping.
It seems harmless.
It's just, hey, you're getting 30% off your entire purchase.
Right.
What is the problem?
Right.
Well, rather than getting psyched about a 30% off sale, a bunch of trolls began bombarding the brand with racist tweets. The responses were pretty horrible. I can't even believe this.
This
it's
is
2016.
This is awful. I know.
One of them is Old Navy, absolutely disgusting. What's next? Gender neutral bathrooms, pedophilia acceptance propaganda, never shopping here again.
Oh, that's terrible. Just because it was an interracial couple, that's it.
Yep.
That's all it took. That's terrible.
My family and I will never step into an Old Navy store again.
You know, every once in a while, I'll see an ad either in a paper or a magazine or sometimes on television. It happens on television. There was a car ad not long ago where I noticed that one of the couples in the car ad was an interracial
yeah.
couple. And I said to myself, there was a time where a car company, even if they 100% believed in it, thought to themselves, well, the backlash against this will be so terrible. We can't possibly put a black man and a white woman or the other way around. We can't possibly put that in an ad. But they do, and I applaud them for it. But this just shows that people are still living in the dark ages and they just don't want to accept it.
But is this a joke? Is this just people tweeting stuff to be a contrarian? Because seriously, how this is accepted,
right,
I thought.
It's a reality at this point. It's not one of those things. It's like a freak circus. Oh, you would never in a million years see this. You see it every day, don't you?
Listen to this tweet. Old Navy hates white babies. It takes a white mother and a white father to make a white baby. Stop white geocide.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it.
Yeah.
Now people are rallying around the brand and taking on the racist trolls, and there have been some really great things. Like they took the picture of the white guy, the black girl, and the black child and posted up a picture of their interracial family right next door, right next to it, and it says, "Hey, Old Navy, my family and I thank you for the diversity in this ad. Love wins no matter the color."
Good. That's
so more
very
people,
good.
Another picture of an interracial couple, Old Navy for all the racists and ignorant people boycotting Old Navy. Take a look at us. Old Navy, my interracial family loves your new advertisement. Love has no color, says another person on Twitter, and it's two women.
Well, that's another thing. That's a little side issue, but plenty of other companies have had had ads that feature gay couples in them.
Because they're out there.
Because they're out there.
Oh, my God.
And sometimes even have money to spend, and they've kind of taken a hit or two over the same exact thing.
I just would like to know what the problem is.
Just old world thinking?
No, it's Old Navy.
Old Navy thinking?
It's not them.
Just
they're doing a good job.
Just people that aren't willing to accept the fact that things are a little bit more out in the open now than they used to be.
But it's been out in the open. This isn't such a rare thing.
I know.
Old Navy, in honor of all the racists responding to this tweet, I'll be going shopping here soon. You guys just got a new customer.
Good. That's very good. But you have to know, like, every time somebody's casting an ad, if it's a print ad, if it's a radio ad, if it's a TV ad, somebody has to think for a minute, is this going to upset people, the fact that we're putting an interracial couple in this ad? There has to be a moment of thought about that. And the answer should be no. The answer should be, go ahead with it. Get the best people for the job. Sell whatever you want to sell. Use whoever you want to use for it. But there's always a second where they go, how much of a hit are we going to take if we have a black guy and a white girl, or white girl and black? It's crazy.
Yeah, but this is not anything new. That's what I'm so
right,
shocked
I know.
About. And is Old Navy going to take a hit over this? I think not.
I'm hoping it's such a small percentage of people that are put off by it. I'm hoping.
I just don't understand it. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Great show. Bill, my answer is no.
To what?
You said you have to say no to it.
Oh, yeah. Then you did say no. Okay, good. Good. Thank you.
So the thing about it is, you know, if the Gap is going to do it and Gap Kids and Old Navy, we're basically, because they're all connected to the same company.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody's going to be walking around, kids, adults, teenagers, we're all going to be walking around naked, because if you refuse to shop at any of these stores, there's no
alternative.
Right.
That's a good
point.
They'll understand.
Right.
They'll understand.
Do you want everyone to walk around naked, Wendy?
No, but I think Kevin does. I think that's what he's angling for. Steve Bertrand is all for that, remember?
Yeah.
He's a big fan of people walking around naked. Yeah. He thinks people should ride the bus naked.
Right.
Because then people would be nicer to each other. I don't think that's the case.
Nowhere
it's
to put your wallet.
It's just all these corporations. I mean, if you go against one, you know, they're all connected.
Right.
Yeah, but I just don't understand what is there to go against.
No, I understand. This is today's society. If you have a problem with that stuff, I don't know. You better check out and go to Canada or something.
Well, thank you, Kevin. We appreciate your thoughts.
We appreciate you calling. Isn't there going to be like a Trump land to go to?
In Canada, yeah. Their population's going to triple because everyone from the United States will move there.
Joe, what do you think about the Old Navy ad?
You're missing the point on this. This is Old Navy that put the ad out there, and what they've done, they've had their employees or somebody associated with their company go out there and throw these tweets out there so that it makes news, so that you guys start talking about it, and it generates news and free advertisements for them. It's the same thing of, what was it, A&E, I think it is, and the Duck Dynasty people, because they prey on the show.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a problem with them preying on the show. They were slipping in the ratings. That's all. And they just wanted to generate more ratings for them. That's it.
So I think Old Navy's doing pretty well, though.
They're doing okay. Yeah, they're doing all right. But your theory
but,
is...
But you know what? But it's still free advertisement that they're going for. Whether they're doing good, bad, or ugly, it doesn't matter. They will always, 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 corporate will always try to get more more free advertisement, more ratings, more money, whatever, however they can.
But Joe, how would it look if this is true? How would it look if they were exposed? If somebody from their PR department said, "Hey, you know that whole big controversy a couple of weeks ago? We were behind that." What if somebody exposed that? They would look terrible. Is it worth it?
Yeah, it would be worth it because you still have gotten the money up front. It doesn't matter. None of that matters.
Now, what do you think about the whole Target thing?
It would be horrible.
Do you think Target's behind the gender bathrooms?
I do think there's something behind that. Absolutely.
That's an interesting theory.
If you stop and look at look at the McDonald's that are around here, the bathrooms in McDonald's.
Yeah.
You have in the bathrooms at McDonald's around here, you have nothing but blow hand dryers. You do not see any paper towels in the Chicago area. The second you cross over the border into Wisconsin, what happens? You've got paper towels and blow hand dryers. Why is that? Well, that's because they're supporting the paper mills that are up in Wisconsin. I mean, it's the corporate thought process on everything here.
Interesting.
It's a corporate thought process. It's not so much what people want or people do. It's a corporate thought process.
Hmm. You believe in a lot of conspiracy theories, don't you?
No, I really don't.
Because it just sounds like you're getting angry over this. And I mean, I never...
No, I'm not angry. Don't get me wrong. I'm not angry. I'm not angry at all.
You're just trying to see through it all.
I'm trying to see through it all because in this day and age, I find it so hard to believe that somebody is going to pick apart a 30% ad, 30% off ad in a magazine or whatever it was and pick apart the fact that they're interracial.
But you have admit, Joe, have you ever, because let me tell you something that's happened to me, and I'm guessing if it's happened to me, it's happened to you and to others. You'll see an interracial couple somewhere, let's say a restaurant, and even though you're fine with it, you see somebody at another table glancing over every once in a while like, oh, this should never be. And you just go, how can that mentality still exist today? But it does still exist today.
Well, yeah, and I don't doubt that mentality does exist, but when you see somebody glancing over, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know if that look was because, oh boy, that guy's got food on his face, you know, or they got green stuck in their teeth, or it's because, oh boy, look at that interracial couple. You have no idea.
Yeah, maybe they're looking going, what a beautiful bunch of kids. Because I've never seen anybody.
I've seen disdain in people's look. They'll just look over like,
really?
Oh, great. Great.
Where do you go? I'm not going to the restaurants you go to. Hey, Joe, it's an interesting theory, and I never thought of it, so thanks for sharing. And I'm glad you're not angry.
Thank you.
Joe doesn't have it in him to be angry, Wendy. Come on.
Well, I didn't know about the paper mills. I wondered why some places have paper towels and some have hand dryers.
Hand dryers, yeah.
I mean, I thought at first the hand dryers were supposed to be more sterile, but now it like blows all the bacteria around the bathroom.
Right.
So I'm not going to the bathroom, I'm not going to any stores, and I'm suing Starbucks.
All right, you got a busy week ahead of you. More calls, or you want to take a quick break?
Quick break.
All right, a break, and then more of your thoughts. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leffman. It's Wendy Snyder, and Old Navy has ruffled a few feathers, as we say in the aviary world. World.
It's a couple, a long-haired, attractive white guy with a beautiful black woman and their really cute black kid. And it says, oh, happy day. Our thank you event is finally here. Take 30% off your entire purchase. And then there's a link to go to the Old Navy official site and get your 30% off. And all of a sudden that comes out on the Twitter sphere. And people start complaining about it. Old Navy, absolutely disgusting. What's next? Gender-neutral bathrooms? My family and I will never step into an Old Navy store again. This miscegenation junk is rammed down our throats from every direction. I don't know what this word is. I don't even know how to say it.
Junk. You said it right.
Miscegenation. Someone commented on this story, which is on BuzzFeed, that says... Miscegenation, this is a term which became obsolete in the 1960s after interracial marriage laws were abolished. For someone to use that term today makes one wonder who they've been hanging out with. Only the KKK and their ilk use that term anymore.
Oh.
I never heard that. I don't even know how to say it.
I'm not familiar with it.
All right. Well, I just was shocked that this is a problem in this day and age in 2016.
Right. You would think it would have been long ago, but nope.
It's unreal. Is this Karee?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Karee. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What are your thoughts on the Old Navy ad?
Well, I sent a tweet out yesterday in response to the ad that has now gotten about 2,000 retweets and 4,100 likes already. My tweet has been featured in a number of articles already today, in the BuzzFeed ad or article you just mentioned a second ago, and a number of others. And you know, I have an interracial family.
Yeah.
And seeing this ad means the world to us. We see every day advertisements for families that don't necessarily look like mine.
Yeah.
And to see this kind of picture, it made my heart smile, to be honest with you. And it made me realize that we are progressing in the right direction, despite the hate and the vitriol and just the disgusting comments that the Post initially received. I mean, the outpouring of love that I've seen since then reminds me that we are going in the right direction.
Now, we read yours, Karee. It says, "Hey, Old Navy, my family and I thank you for the diversity in this ad. Hashtag love wins no matter the color." And right. Your interracial family is right next to the interracial family that was the Old Navy ad.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Karee, I mentioned a little while ago that over the years I have seen situations. I've been in parks. I've been in restaurants where there will be an interracial family or couple, and I'll see somebody look over like, "Oh, great." You've experienced that once or twice, haven't you?
More than once or twice, unfortunately. I don't see it a lot at dinner because I'm not usually paying attention to the ambiance or the people around me. But we see it sometimes, rather often, when we go to the malls as a family, or I see it far more frequently when it's just me and my kids, where you get the weird looks. I mean, obviously, I don't know what those people are thinking, but the looks make you feel uncomfortable, and they definitely hurt.
How do you explain that to your kids? How do you prepare them for that?
Right now, I mean, with my two younger kids, they're rather oblivious to it. My older daughter, who is on my right arm in the picture, she's 17. She and I have to have far more difficult conversations about it. She goes to a school that is predominantly all white, and she hears the N-word quite often.
Having
conversations with her about that kind of thing and preparing her isn't the easiest thing to do, and it's not the first thing that you want to do as a parent,
of
but
course.
It's something that I have to do because she has to understand the world that she's in and the community that she's in. But having said that, we live in a very welcoming community as far as I can tell.
Good.
You're always going to have folks that make stupid comments or insensitive or racial comments. But by and large, our community is very welcoming. They embrace our family. They have really welcomed us in. We've been in this community for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
And we haven't felt the point where, hey, you know, this is too bad, we have to leave. That's not it at all. I mean, we feel rather comfortable, but that doesn't mean that element is still there. And when you have to tell your child about racism and why they might look at you funny or why they may say certain things, it's something I can't wait to not have to talk about. But it's something that still exists. But I you can see by the way that folks have been responding, whether it's to my tweet or to some of the articles that have been posted today, there's far more goodness and decency that exists than hate. And
really?
I mean, that's what I enjoy saying.
Ah, that's the best part of all this, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Good.
It makes you, it reminds you, and gives you some hope about where humanity is going.
Yeah, we're making progress.
Right,
Karee. Thank you for chiming in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, have
and
a great
I
day.
Just followed you on Twitter. I'm going to repost that to retweet it because. I can't believe that, really, it's 2016. We have a president who is biracial. I didn't think this was an issue anymore.
I've always known it's an issue, but I'm glad to see that the folks who are engaging in the negative side of things are being shunned, and that it's no longer acceptable to behave or think or say these kinds of things anymore. That is a good thing. That is showing that we're definitely going in the right direction.
Absolutely. Excellent. Thanks, Tree. Have a great day. All right, we need to take a quick break. We'll find out what Roe and Anna have coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.